Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 47 of Cinema Attack. That is right. We're almost at the big one, guys. Yep, number 47 we're on right now. Derek here, as usual. And we also have the awesome homies. First up, we got Matt.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, Governor.
Hello, Governor. What's going on with some pie? You keeping it down over there?
Where is that impersonation during the Halloween episode?
I know, right?
But anyways, and then of course we have the editor supreme, W Doubles. What's going on, Dub?
What's up?
Hello.
Keep it down over there.
And as always, we have the returning guest who, you know, after our last list show, he's like,
"What the hell, no Andy? What the fuck, yo? I'm the list guy."
So, ladies and gentlemen, Andy has returned to do this list with us.
What's up, yo? What's
going on, list man?
It's been a while, Andy.
It has been, yo. I feel like a virgin again. I haven't podcasted in so long.
What's going on with the life, yo? It's been crazy.
Yeah, man, 2020 has been one of those freaking weird years, man. Got the coronavirus out here. It's just crazy. Just trying to stay safe and everything.
I hear you. Still working?
Yeah, still the same job. But I don't know, things seem to be a lot better for life right now. You know, things are going good. I met a nice lady and everything. Been dating for like 8 months now.
Nice. Good job, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Good.
2020 hasn't been all that bad, I guess.
Yeah, you know, like I said in the last episode, 2020 is like the Super Mario Brothers movie in a nutshell. King Koopa surrounded by a fungus. But anyways, that's enough of that bullshit.
That's going to be on some list tonight.
Maybe, you never know. But, anyways, guys, I've been very excited to be doing this, and we're actually doing this a little bit different, because everyone's be thinking, don't you guys usually do top tens when they see the thumbnail? This was a jam-packed decade of action movies, and even me was like, you know, the first thing I said was, you want to make it a top 15 instead? And even that was pretty fucking hard because I left off so many films that I loved growing up.
Definitely, man.
There were some that I wanted on, and then they were 80s. I'm like, shit. Nope, they're not 90s.
Yeah, I had a bunch of 89s. I was like, oh, that's on the list. I was like, oh, that's 89. Never mind.
Yeah. Andy's like, hell yeah. Let's do 15.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down. Fuck it. Yeah, I was having a hard time. I was like stuck at 13 films for a while. I was like, I don't know what to leave off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough, but, you know.
Yeah.
Some genres or decades are harder. Even like I feel like we should have did maybe like a top 15 80s, because I feel like I left a lot of movies off that I wanted to talk about. Even, you know, fuck it, we could do whatever the fuck we want. If we want to do top 10s in the future, top 15s, we'll do them. Fuck them.
Top 10 80 of the 80s.
Imagine?
Oh, yeah. God.
That'd be fucking like a 7-hour show.
That's insane.
But that's the thing about the action, man. It just covers so many sub-genres, really. I mean, I think we're going to touch on a lot of different themes in our action films, so
yeah definitely.
90s had it going on, man.
Yeah, that was something I noticed too when I was like looking up movies that was from the 90s, and I was like, there's a lot of movies on there that I could see people make an argument for action, but I would classify them like more of a different genre film, especially like with disaster films and stuff like that. I kind of left them off this list just because I put them in a different category. But I mean, if somebody has a certain movie or something on their list, I'm not going to be mad at them. It's just
are you talking about the masterpiece that is Armageddon?
Yeah, you know, a lot of those type of movies popped up here when I was researching 90s action movies. I was like, I put that disaster movies all in their own category. So,
yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, and, you know, it's been a while since we talked, and Halloween fucking sucked for me so bad.
Really?
Wow.
It just, I know this is weird, and I know he lived a good life, but R.I.P. to Sean Connery, it hit me hard, because he just seemed immortal for so long, you know?
That was epic, man. I mean,
isn't it kind of ironic that we lost Sean Connery and Alex Trebek in the same year?
Oh, your mom's likes it rough, Trebek.
That is, man. I didn't even think about that. It's funny.
You know, it would be great if they did like a skit now where they're in heaven.
Yeah,
they show like Will Ferrell's Alex Trebek entered heaven, and Sean Connery's there. Oh, I'm here with you, Trebek. Fuck off.
Hey, Trebek, I came here to shave you with a razor.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but he's one of my favorites, and I might be talking about a movie in particular that I love from the 90s.
Now, my wife was telling me one of her aunts or great aunts used to date Sean Connery way back before he became big. I was really? Like, really? I thought that was very interesting the way she was talking about it.
That is it. He, like, you know, through his career, like, James Bond was the big, like, James that's, Bond, you know.
That's my favorite Bond still, though, honestly.
I like it rough, pussy galore. Come here, pussy. I'm going to rape you in this bar like, right
if
now.
Somebody says Bond, I still always think of Connery, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
that's the first image that pops in my head.
It's like Bela Lugosi is Dracula, you know?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. There's a million people that's done it and done it well, but there's still that one.
I still have not seen a Daniel Craig Bond movie yet. For some reason, I just can't give myself to watch a Daniel Craig Bond movie. I don't know what it is, because I don't think he looks like a Bond to me, but all the rest like are feel like Bonds, but for him, I can't do it. I don't know what it is.
They're pretty good for what they are. I think they get better as they go. Like, I like Casino Royale, but you gotta watch a poker match for half the movie, and you're like, yeah. Quantum of Solace is okay. Skyfall, I think, is where it really picks up. I actually haven't seen Spectre yet. But, you know, and the new one's coming. He's different. They're for the era, you know. And
right.
They're better than the last few Pierce Bronson movies. Let's put it that way. Like, right. Die Another Day. That movie could go fuck off. And I like Pierce Bronson. He's a great Bond, but the movies he was in kind of... Yeah.
Yeah, they're
gave us GoldenEye, though.
GoldenEye's probably the best one, you know.
What was after GoldenEye?
World Tomorrow Never Dies. Tomorrow
I like that one. That was
that's right. TV World is Not Enough's the third one.
Yeah, they get worse as they go along with like, the stories. You know, the villains are kind of lackluster in those ones, too. They're not as memorable, in my opinion, but I still like, you know, I'll still watch them.
Yeah.
Besides Die Another Day, I like when you have the person who sings your theme song in the fucking movie, that's where I fucking throw my clicker at the TV. Fuck off, Madonna. You don't have to be in this movie.
Oh, that's probably like, Barry one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah, but enough of that tangent. But, you know, fucking Sean Connery, RIP, like I said in my post, like Draco from Dragonheart said, look to the stars, Bowen. Look to the stars. That's where you'll find me.
Dragonheart.
I love that movie. I fucking saw that in theaters when I was like,
me too, man. Yeah. Super young.
That's like awesome, dumb. You know, I kind of want to watch it someday. You know, what's crazy? There's like a franchise of that movie.
Yeah,
I know. That is really weird.
And I haven't seen any of them besides the first one. You know, that'd be an interesting franchise to do one day. Like, we'll just watch every Dragonheart movie.
Oh, gosh, that's going to be rough.
It could be, but it could be this worst franchise. Like, who the fuck wants to do the Scorpion King franchise? Oh, that's another one that's weird. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Especially when you get the part three with Billy Zane and Ron Perlman play brothers.
What? Wow.
Yes.
Don't want to know.
Universal Soldier franchise.
Oh, that's a weird one, too, because there's like different versions of the same character.
The only Universal Soldier I remember is the one that has Goldberg in it.
Yeah, that's the second one. Yeah.
Well, technically, it's like the
third.
Fourth, because there's two like side movies without Van Damme. And they actually starred Burt Reynolds. Like, they released a video.
What?
He's not the Universal Soldier. He's just in the
car.
Imagine Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds driving the car to get away from the Universal Soldiers. I'm a Universal Soldier. Yeehaw!
Yeah, it's more like Super Troopers than fucking.
I actually never seen them. I just remember seeing like the VHS covers. I'm like, these look terrible.
I think Dolph Lundgren came back for the last one, if I remember correctly. He was
in the last two, actually. Yeah,
and Goldberg too. I think Goldberg came back for one of them.
Yeah, Regeneration and Day of Awakening, which are actually from the same director. They're weird. Day of Awakening is just a weird movie. That's a good discussion piece after we, like, if we watch like all those. You get the Day of Awakening, it's like Apocalypse Now, where fucking Van Damme's like Colonel Kurtz. He's actually the bad guy in the movie. It's weird,
dude. We need to do that franchise. That's the worst.
We gotta down the road, yo. But we'll plan that out. I gotta try to find those Burt Reynolds ones because those sound entertaining to talk shit about.
Yeah.
But anyways, enough of that. Are you guys ready to get into some fucking lists?
List it up, baby.
Okay. Yeah. Let's gonna take a little quick break. We're actually gonna play, like I said in the previous show, I love a lot of shows. We're going to play a promo to a show that I love, and I actually guested on recently, Gangs of Hollywood, which is a kind of an interesting show. It's my homie, The Witch, who was part of The Witch versus the Doomsday Clock, which is actually ending soon. And his new show is called Gangs of Hollywood, where he's going to do a lot of gang movies. Like, he started out with The Warriors and, you know,
nice.
Do like mafia movies, just regular like gang, street gang movies. It's all kind of mixture thing. I actually guessed it when he reviewed the South Korean gang movie New World, which I think the latest episode out now. But here's a promo for that. Check it out, and we'll be right back after that. Peace.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. And while Witch didn't make it to the top of the world, he did make the Gangs of Hollywood podcast. So join the gang and enjoy a movie review podcast about movie gangs, gangsters, mobsters, and the mayhem they cause. You can find GOH Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At GOHpod, at www.gohpod.com, as well as your favorite podcast listening app. And remember, say hello to your little friend, for me.
I am. come with noise. You show and tell with great ease. Raising
We are back. I hope you enjoyed that promo, and be sure to check that show out, guys. Dub, before we did the show and started actually recording, you actually did a randomizer before the show, and it gives us the order of who's going to go first and who's going to go last and who's going to go in the in between. So why don't you read that off?
And so number one is... actually, the guy who always goes last, Derek. Number two is our guest and list master, Andy. Number three is myself, Dubby. And number four, creature feature teacher, Matt.
Well, the last place is always the best because I learned during the 22 shots list shows, if you ever go last, that means you go to the bathroom for at least half an hour.
I know, I could take a little zone or a little snooze break.
Especially on the 22 shots, because JP and Moods end up going off for like a 45 minutes on one movie one time. I'm like,
make a full course meal on the side. And come back.
Watch some porn in the background. Oh, dear, turn. Oh, okay. All right, here we go.
Yeah, it's like fun. You know, it's great. Like, one time it was like, because I think it was like Freddy's Dead or, no, it wasn't. Freddy's Dead, which show was 85. It was some fucking movie. Friday the 13th. No, Nightmare on Elm Street. It was Freddy's Revenge, that one. Yeah, there we go. And they went on for like fucking 45 minutes every time someone picked it. I'm like, oh my God. Really? They're not going to listen to this, so whatever. But anyways, I still love them, but, you know, it could be enough. You know, it could be enough. Come on, we got like six people. Let's keep moving. All right. But anyways, enough of that. But I get to go first, so that means I get to go to some bathroom breaks too, so that's good at least. But anyways, yeah, you guys ready to get right into this?
Fuck yeah.
All right. Number 15. Showdown in Little Tokyo. Guys, ever seen it?
Dolph Lundgren. Yes.
Brandon Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I always had fun with this movie. It's a quick watch. It only runs like 78 minutes. It's not even like a full like half hour and a half. It flies by, and, you know, Tia Carrera's sexy. And, you know, there's that funny scene where, you know, Dolph Lundgren and Tia Carrera are about to get it on, and the bad guys come and take her away. And Brandon Lee walks into the camera. Why are you naked? You know, this cracked me up. I like their chemistry together, and it's a shame because this is, like, one of Brandon Lee's, like, first major roles before The Crow, and The Crow is supposed to shoot him out to stardom, so it's sad. It's sad in that sense where, you know, he had some good, like, I liked Rapid Fire, too, and shit like that. He had a career path that was going to places, and it's a shame what happened. And he had good chemistry with Lundgren, and I like Lundgren. I always liked Lundgren, you know. He's an actor who actually got better for me as he got older. You know, and I got older. And he, you know, he's actually a very smart dude in real life, if you didn't. That's actually a funny thing. He's actually, like, has a degree in chemistry. It's fucking nuts. Yeah. You know, it's insane. And actually, he actually wrote that in one of the Expendable movies. You know. But that's beside the point. Showdown in Little Tokyo, I love anything to do with, like, Chinese or Japanese culture. And, you know, Dolph Lundgren fighting Yakuza, and the main bad guy is played by Shao Kahn from fucking Mortal Kombat. I'm in.
Fuck yeah.
You know? It's fucking fun.
And, I mean, this is one of the few movies you get to see kind of his action kung fu style of Brandon Lee, too.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's cool. I mean, it's kind of an homage to his father. It's one of the few times you get to see it.
For sure. It's a fun movie. And, you know, great. I like buddy chemistry movies. The one in a dozen, especially during this time period.
Definitely. Nice pick.
Hell yeah. Andy.
Alrighty, my number 15. It seems to be like a little tradition here since the last time we did a list show of action movies. I started off with this particular gentleman. Now I'm going to stress that I strictly went with favorite movies and not like the best or anything like that. So anybody listening out there, I don't want any mean post or anything about this pick. But my number 15 film is Suburban Commando from the year 1991, starring Hulk Hogan.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Oh, man, this movie is just, like, so bad, and it's good. It's I don't know, it's just a childhood nostalgia movie, you know, growing up in the early 90s and Hulk Hogan being who he was and everything. And also cool little characters with The Undertaker and Brutus the Barber Beefcake playing the bounty hunters in this film. Yeah. I always thought that was pretty cool. I mean, it's a cheesy, you know, like, straight-to-DVD, VHS-type movie. But I always loved it, you know, and it's a movie that I go back to sometimes to watch. I don't know if you guys ever
I seen it years ago.
Oh yeah, man.
I seen it. I
so bad it's good.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd, Shelley Duvall. Fun.
I remember what No Holds Barred with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one he plays like an alien cop. It's fucking weird.
Three Ninjas on Magic Mountain or whatever.
Oh, that one, that's my least favorite Three Ninjas movie.
That's so bad.
I think that's anybody's least favorite Three Ninjas. Isn't Jim Varney like the bad guy?
Yeah, I think so.
It's been years. But yeah, I remember liking it. You know, it's like one. Did you ever watch it recently?
It's probably been a year or two since I checked it out. It's one of those movies that like I like crave to get like a Blu-ray release or something, you know. It's just like, it's right up my alley of the type of movies I like.
Yeah, it's like so bad it's you still enjoy it. You know it's bad, though, so at least you acknowledge it, too, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but it's one of those, like, so bad it's good movies where you just laugh at it and enjoy it still, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. I dig it. Actually, my buddies actually did that on Fistful of Action podcast, actually covered that. And they're like, oh my God, I've been wanting to check this out and see if it held up since I was a kid. And sadly, it did.
Yeah, it's just some early 90s cheese, you know, coming off the 80s and everything. I don't know.
Sure.
Right. And yeah, I mean, my list is pretty much the same way. It's going to be a lot of favorites. It's not necessarily going to be the best top 15 action films. Like, that might be a different list, honestly. So, but anyway, so number 15, got to come in. Nostalgia City, man. I had to include them. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice.
1990.
Nice. Half shell.
Yeah, but that's why I loved the OG film, man. It was the perfect bridge between the OG Turtles from the comics, which were gangsters and had guns and shit, and then, you know, the cartoon version of the Ninja Turtles. So this was the perfect bridge. It was pretty dark, man, but it still had a little bit of comical appeal to it. What can you say, man? I love the Ninja Turtles. I'm just a fucking fanboy for the Ninja Turtles, so I had to include this one. But this one's a really good film, man. I think this is actually a very well-made film, and it's definitely the best-made film of the Ninja Turtle films. Not necessarily my favorite one, but it is the best-made. Coming in at 8.5 on this one, that's Ninja Turtles.
Nice. I didn't know we were doing ratings, Dub, but that's fine.
Oh, I never did.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we're not, but anyways.
But anyways.
If you want them, they're there.
Why not? Fuck it. At least you give them at the end, unlike Jeremy.
Coming in at 7.5 is this right. Movie.
Yeah, we don't
got kind of hard. I probably won't be able to rate these because they're so awkward. They're just so much fun.
I hear you, you know, and plus, some of them I haven't watched in a while, so I don't know if I would actually, what I would rate them until we actually watch them. This is going perfectly nostalgia.
I think you'll be surprised, man. If you revisit the first one especially, like, it's actually pretty dark and well-made film, man.
Oh, I love Ninja Turtles, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm.
I bought the Blu-ray that has, like, the three movies plus the made-TV one, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
I never, never could get into the third one when they, like, go back in time.
I couldn't either. That one sucks, man.
The only good thing about that,
samurais and shit, and I was like, that one just sucked.
The only good thing about it is they bring back Casey Jones, but he's barely in it.
Yeah, not enough. He looked cool, but he was just not in it enough.
Yeah.
I wish they did with part two, when they did Toka and Rezar, that they actually did someone else. But they made them kind of cheesy characters. Like, they're, like, badass-looking. Like, Toka was this killer, cool-looking turtle. Rezar was this werewolf. But they were, like, pussies.
Yeah, I don't know why they just didn't do it with Bebop and Rocksteady. I don't know why they had to make up those characters.
No.
I think it was rights issues.
It may be something.
Yeah. It's whatever. I dug it.
All right. My number 15 from 1980 is Darkman.
80?
I mean 1990.
Whoops. I was like, are we in a different decade?
I just wrote down really fast. 1990, and that's Darkman.
Oh. I want a pink elephant now.
Liam Neeson, man.
Liam Neeson is freaking badass.
I will find your pink elephant.
Sam Raimi.
And
Larry Drake.
Appearance of Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. It's so weird that Frances McDormand's in this movie, and she's like, this is before she, like, won an Oscar. It's nuts. You know, we had a great, like, goon squad, like Nicholas Wirth is the big bald dude. That dude should have played the Kingpin in real life.
Really? Yeah, he should have.
Larry Drake's great as Durant.
Oh, I was surprised when they did the sequels.
Dr. Giggles himself.
Like, how are they going to bring Durant in part 3, The Return of Durant? Like, okay. And yeah. They did it.
Yeah, and I loved the weird recasting of Liam Neeson with Arnold Vosloo.
I like the whole story how they did it with the whole taking of the masks and working with the synthetic skin. Hence why Darkman. Like, ah, yeah.
I dig it. It's a great movie. It's been a while, though. I need to pick up
that Scream Factory. It's a cult classic, man.
I never bought the Scream Factory edition, but I still have it on DVD. For some reason, I don't upgrade my... I upgrade horror and everything, but actions and all those kinds, I really don't upgrade.
Yeah.
I should.
You should.
Some of them are worth it, man, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The practical explosions and good effects.
Your excuse to look, fuck it, it's Raimi. Upgrade.
That's right.
Yeah, true.
You know? Good shit, Matt.
Thank you.
Good shit. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Ready for my number 14?
Yeah.
This is the fucking decade of this gentleman here, and that is Mr. Steven Seagal. And that is Mark for fucking Death.
Nice.
Fucking love this movie. Fucking craziest drug dealing Jamaican bad guys ever. I love the like twist reveal of like when you think that the main bad guy is dead.
I wish there was a third one.
That'd be amazing. You know, another twist. I love like the comedy of Seagal and Keith David in this movie. They make a great pair, and that's actually the better Dwight H. Little movie because he directed Halloween 4, and that movie's a snooze fest. And it's cool to see like little Danielle Harris in this, which makes sense because you know director of Halloween 4 is like Seagal's like fucking niece in the movie. I just like the story of this one. I like how he like journeys to, like Jamaica, or I think it's Jamaica.
Yep.
You know,
the Jamaican, yep. the Jamaican drug lords.
Yeah, and the whole climax of the movie is fucking nuts in that warehouse. Fucking awesome. Fucking great movie. Samurai swords galore, decapitations. What more can you want from a movie? Fucking awesome.
Chill.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Steven fucking Seagal.
You go, Andy.
Oh, my fault. I didn't know if anybody had anything else to say about it. coming in at my number 14 is kind of a fun film for me. I always enjoyed it. I know it gets a lot of shit, but it's not nearly as bad as the sequel is. And my number 14th is Speed.
There's a bomb obviously on the bus.
I was
cruise control.
Yeah. Funny story about part two. When I was like 7 years old or whatever, we went to Florida and we ended up going to the movie theaters and we ended up seeing Speed 2 Cruise Control in the movie theaters. So that's my experience in Florida, seeing Speed 2.
Oh, God.
Man. But nah, but Speed, I always like these premise of movies, you know, set in like one location with like a bomb or a hijacking or something going on. And I always just thought this was a pretty cool premise with this bus can't go over a certain mile, go under miles per hour. I just always like this one. It's pretty fun, you know. Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves,
Dennis Hopper.
It's a classic. It's Dennis like a Hopper, runaway yeah. train kind of movie. I mean, it's a classic premise in a way.
And it's weird, it's
just done in the 90s way.
I'm sorry, Dub. I didn't know you were still talking. My bad. But yeah, it's a weird one because I've seen this movie after I seen Dumb and Dumber. I'm like, wait a minute, that's fucking Harry. Like Jeff Daniels being serious. Like because I was still young at the time, I couldn't put it together because I didn't know he did serious movies too at the time. Like I'm like, whoa, and he's like, you fucking got me shot, motherfucker. I'm like, whoa,
Harry's being in that. You shoot the hostage.
That's how it was when I saw Arachnophobia the first time. I was like, what the fuck? It's like, serious.
Yeah, and, you know, his fucking death in the movie is like, whoa, you weren't expecting it at all to happen, and it's nuts. And Dennis Hopper has the greatest line ever in this movie, don't fuck with daddy. Good shit.
Nice. Yeah, so number 14 for me, no, is a personal favorite of D. Bougie, the homie here, and that is Last Action Hero.
I love that movie too.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of this film. I had to include it. That's just how stacked this is. I mean, this is a nostalgia movie for me, but I still had to include it. But it's a perfect like meta film in a film. I like the action movies, you know. It's just a film within a film, basically. You know, he's got these other universes going on in the film, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, man, he's killing it in the late 80s, but still killing it in the 90s. Some Last Action Heroes.
Yeah, that fucking awesome big AC/DC song, Big Gun.
Fuck yeah. Can't go wrong there either, man.
Great soundtrack to that one. It's fucking great.
Funny enough, The Last Action Hero was one of the first Blu-rays I ever bought when I got a Blu-ray to play.
Dude, me too, actually.
I got it for like $2 at work. It was crazy.
Oh, it's such a good movie. I'll probably... Spoiler, and I might be talking about it later.
Yeah, I knew you would, man.
All right, with my number 14 from 1993, that's Cliffhanger with Stallone.
Nice.
I always enjoyed it. And John Lithgow is a bad guy. I was like, wow, that's pretty
Lithgow's
different.
The man. I love him.
It's a fun movie, but every time I watched it again, every time I watch the beginning of it, all I can think about now after it's, it's guilty when you watch a lot of movies that spoof shit. When you watch this movie's beginning, all I can think about is the beginning of Ace Ventura when nature calls.
That's the one we're making fun of.
That's like when you watch 300, you can't take it serious after you watch Meet the Spartans. Because that's all you think about after. It's my fault for watching those type of movies and, you know, thinking about them off the top of my head. But that's what happens. And I still enjoy the movie, don't get me wrong. It's just that one scene is all I think about is, like, instead of Stallone and the girl, it's Jim Carrey and the raccoon.
I love the part where he picks up the guy and just shoves him into the stalactite.
Yeah.
He's fighting in the cave. I always like those ones where the hero picks them off one at a time, almost like a slasher, where he just picks one bad guy here and there with different kills. I always thought those were fun.
Yeah, and Michael Rooker is in this too, and he's yep. great too. You know, it's actually a very interesting dynamic with him and Stallone, hence why the beginning of the movie, of course. And, you know, it builds into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great movie.
Thank you.
Alrighty, back to me. Wow.
Lucky 13.
Number 13, and this one we actually reviewed on the show before, and that is Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, nice.
Yes, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. I gave it a perfect score, but do I watch it all the time? No. Because I watch a lot of other movies more than it. That's why it's at this spot. I still love it, though. It's still a great movie. Fantastic, in my opinion. Probably the second best Die Hard movie, in my opinion. You know, out of the franchise, especially after we did it. Especially after you get to part 5, you know, anything's better. Oh. but yeah, it's great. What can I say about it? Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis, one of the best dynamics is those two acting together in the movie, and Jeremy Irons is great as the bad guy. Explosions galore. I love the riddles, I love the mystery of it. If you want to hear it, we talk about it in the show, our Christmas or early Christmas episode, which that was so long ago, too. You know?
Was it? Wow.
What do you think about that one, Deb?
What now?
I'm sorry.
We caught him. You know, we were talking about Die Hard with a Vengeance again. You know, it's been so long since we did that show. You still dig it?
Yeah, it was a good film, man, overall. That's what's funny. It might be talked about pretty soon for me as well. But, I still think the OG, there's nothing to top Die Hard as far as that goes.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
That's what hurts Die Hard as a franchise overall. But that is the best sequel overall. I do like the villain overall, and Samuel L. Jackson's pretty cool dynamic, too.
Yeah, that's a different dynamic to the movie than, you know, just McClane by himself. He has a partner.
Right.
Which actually ends up hurting the rest of the franchise, in my opinion.
That's true. It feels like something's missing after that.
For sure. And yeah, it's whatever. And it works, but still the second best Die Hard movie, in my opinion.
Agree.
Sure. It's you, Andy.
Alrighty, lucky number 13. I was born on the 13th. My number 13 pick is from the man, the legend, Harrison Ford. It's a Tom Clancy story, and it's our Patriots game.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, man. Out of all the Tom Clancy-based movies that did, this is definitely one of my favorite ones. Of course, Harrison Ford, you know, the legend of the action genre, Indiana Jones and all that. It's just a, you know, cool little terrorism type movie and whatnot. I love it. I don't really want to talk too much about it, but it's a fun film. I made my number 13.
Yeah, great villain cast in that. Sean Bean, Patrick Bergen, and you got Richard Harris, Dumbledore himself. You know, I always dug the shit out of Patriots game. I like the IRA connection to it. It's kind of different than the rest of them.
Yep.
Feels a little bit more personal, especially what happens to Jack Ryan in that movie. You know, that's why I dig it. It's a little bit more personal, and instead of, like, you know, him just being thrown into a situation, you gotta go to stop this Colombians of Willem Dafoe in the second one.
Yeah, you know? Add all the Jack Ryans. Harrison Ford's by far the best one. Ben Affleck was not that great.
But, Baldwin was okay. It's just we did the one movie, though, so we wouldn't really know.
I've never seen, like, the TV show on Amazon or anything like that. Have you guys?
That's pretty good. No. You probably like it.
I have to check it out.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either. I was curious about it.
Yeah, it goes in depth and, like, the, you know, the espionage and shit like that. There's some slow parts, of course. Like, you know, some of these movies, like the Tom Clancy stuff, do have, like, the talky stuff in them. So it does have slow parts, but it ranks up in the two scenes of, like, action and, you know, people getting killed and shit. It's fucking nuts. And I think Krasinski does pretty okay in the role. Did you ever see the Chris Pine movie?
Which one's that?
No.
I think it's just called Jack Ryan.
Yeah. I remember one that came out, but I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh directed it. And, Kevin Costner is the bad guy in it. It's alright. It's fun. I think you'd like it.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Okay, Dub.
Yeah, so a film we just talked about, number 13 for me, is actually Die Hard with a Vengeance as well. I mean, I do like how it builds on his overall character of John McClane. You know, it kind of plays on his whole divorce, and he's kind of more out of work and alcohol, and he's, like, down on his luck. So I kind of like how he has a kind of new attitude overall, and it's just kind of a game changer of the franchise. Like I said, it kind of hurts it later. But and I really like your antagonist in Jeremy Irons. Does a really good job. I mean, as you said, it's the second best Die Hard film. I have to agree with that. And yeah, number 13 for me.
Nice.
Cool.
Dopeness.
Sweet.
Matty boy.
Alrighty. There it is. Alright, my number 13 goes by two different titles from 1994. And the original title, Leon the Professional, is also known as The Professional.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not familiar with this.
There's two different, like, I think it was two different cuts of it. One was
it Woody Harrelson?
You never seen this movie?
You never seen The Professional?
I have not.
No.
With John Renault?
Yeah.
Oh, stop the presses.
Andy, I've heard of this. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Andy, you're coming back on the show in 2 weeks, and we're doing The Professional.
Yeah, it goes one goes by the name of The Professional, and there's a different version called Leon the Professional. It's the same movie with John, with Jean Reno, and Gary Oldman,
and young Natalie Portman.
Yep, Natalie Portman plays the little girl that he's there to protect.
Nice.
But it's kind of cool how he's like one step ahead of everybody. The bombs that he places, the what he does, freak Gary Oldman just pisses him off all the time.
Oh yeah, it's fucking great. It's a great movie. Oh, I love The Professional so much, and I love like the scenes. He's not in the movie much, but he goes to this one source of like information. And it's Danny Aiello.
Yeah,
and he's great in the movie too. He has a few scenes here and there, and it's just a great movie. And I love that Natalie Portman just watches Transformers on TV out of nowhere. It's like cool, and, you know, it's fun. Yeah, I can't really talk about it now that I know that you two haven't seen it. It's freaking mind-blowing.
I know. It was a big film back in 94.
Gary Oldman's such a great fucking bad guy in this movie, too. Oh.
Yeah, I gotta see it. Because he is amazing, so.
Yep.
That's my number 13.
Back to me already. Oh, wow. Number 12. Sequel to one of my favorite movies of all time, and that is RoboCop 2.
Ah, nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that one. God damn it. Oh, well.
There's going to be a few of those. I've already, like, saw some and thought of some, and I'm like, oh, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's not as good as, I'll even admit this, it's not as good as RoboCop 1. It's still enjoyable. I like the villain in it, and Tom Noonan, who plays a great villain in a few movies that might be on a few of our lists. You know, and he's always great in everything he does. He plays Kane. I like the whole drug aspect of the nuke. The thing that kind of hurts it for me on rewatch, though, it's why it's still, don't get me wrong, RoboCop 3 is nowhere near on this list. And it will never be. You know, but RoboCop 2, the thing that hurts it for me is the whole scene where they reprogram him. It's so cheesy on rewatch when you watch it kind of grown up. You're like, ugh, poor Peter Weller had to do this. No wonder he didn't come back for part 3. You could start to see, like, the cheesiness in the movies just kind of glisten through, where the first one feels timeless in storytelling. And, you know, the kind of like the advertising ads that they play throughout the movie kind of seem a little bit more cheesier and over the top. It feels like a little bit more over the top, which you do get with a lot of sequels in that sense. But I think it's still greatly directed by Erwin Krishner, who did like Empire Strikes Back. And yeah, fucking fun movie. And it's good to see like returning characters like Dan O'Hallery, Nancy Allen as Lewis, one black dude.
Kid that's a drug lord.
Yeah, that kid's a fucking dick.
Yeah, he is.
And, you know, he tried to have the sympathy moment at the end when, you know, spoiler alert, that kid gets fucking blown away by RoboCop 2. you know, and it's fucking great. And, you know, like, RoboCop's trying to hold a hand. I'm like, don't hold his hand. He fucking spit on you and fucking tore you apart. Fuck that kid. He's the Tony Moran of this movie, RoboCop. It's a callback to the last episode.
He had a Wahlburger.
Wahlburger, you know. But yeah, RoboCop 2's still enjoyable in my opinion. Not as great as the first one, but still watchable.
Nice.
Alright, what number are we on? 12?
12.
Alright. Number 12 is, might shock some of you guys. I don't know. Maybe not. My number 12 is a film, The Replacement Killers.
Nice. Chow Yun Fat.
Yes, man. Yeah, it's just a movie I always remember being like on HBO or Showtime or one of those channels when I was a kid, and I always would watch it. It's got some great action sequences. You know, it's like a crime action film. Some bad stuff type stuff going on.
I remember digging it, man. It's been years, though. Maris Rubino's in that one, right?
Yeah, Michael Rooker and a bunch of other people. It's a fun film. It's been a few years since I've seen it, too. But it just stuck with me over the years as, like, you know, a good, like, Asian-type film, kung fu shit.
That was actually Chow Yun-Fat's, like, first American role, I think, too, because he was a big star in Hong Kong for years before that, with a few, like, early 80s, late 80s,
yeah,
early 90s, like, Hong Kong movies that he did and shit. And then that was, like, his first big American movie, and he blew up over here and, you know, starred in, like, movies like that and The Corruptor. And he pops up in, like, Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, what the hell? You know, but I always like Chick. Oh, yeah. Definitely a paycheck movie. But still great. You know, he's actually one of the best parts of that third Pirates of the Caribbean movie. But, we'll say that for if we ever do that franchise. We always think of shows when we do these, like, you know, like, we're going to do Leon the Professional. We're just going to do that one movie. You know, fuck it.
They probably won't have Johnny Depp in them. Any new ones.
No. He already got fired from that fucking...
The Harry Potter shit.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I
wonder what happened, why he got fired from it.
And he beat up his wife or something? I don't know. Yeah.
His ex-wife, Amber Heard.
Yeah, something.
It's going on. I try to stay out of it, because who the fuck knows? It's whatever. Because it's back and forth. It's either he beat her up, or she was abusive to him.
She beat him up.
You know, and all I know is I just want to tear that green dress off of her in Aquaman.
Amber fucking Heard.
Just tear that green dress up, suit off, or like, get over here and fuck me, fish woman.
I think I have some fish tonight.
I don't care. I like crazy girls anyway, so she could be abusive if she wants. Fuck it.
So on that note, my number 12 is Nostalgia City, man. I had to include at least one Jackie Chan film. And this is the film that just really, I'm pretty sure it's the first one I saw of him. Remember renting the VHS, fucking local mom and pop. And that is Rumble in the Bronx, 95.
Nice.
And yeah, man, just he choreographed all the action, of course, and did his own stunts. And you know, after I seen this, I had to research and to see all of his films, and it really got me into him. But it was just a classic, you know, thugs taking over the city, and he's trying to be the good guy kind of guy. But not much his plot, but it was more spectacle, and it's like, holy shit, this guy's doing the most crazy action stunts I've ever seen in my life. And I just got to, you know, shout out to Jackie Chan, you know, the craziest action stunt hero ever, in my opinion.
But, I love Jackie Chan.
Yeah, man. Like I said, nobody can top him. I still love Tony Jaa and some of these modern guys that do crazy shit, but nobody can top this guy, man. Jackie Chan is insane. Nobody ever will, so. Number 12, Rumble in the Bronx.
Hell yeah, man. And, you know, I have an idea of a movie that we got to watch for a show one time.
Uh-oh.
We're going to check it out. It's called The Forbidden Kingdom.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I've been wanting to check that out.
Oh, yeah. Jet Li versus Jackie Chan. And it's like super
fantasy and crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of... The way I describe it, it's Labyrinth with Kung Fu.
Yeah. That might be a commentary worthy one there.
Yeah. That's the way I would describe that one. For sure.
Nice.
All right.
Maddie.
So my number 12, going back to 1995, with Jean-Claude Van Damme in Sudden Death.
Ooh, nice.
I fucking love this movie. I remember I took one of my friends to go see it, and she was a big hockey fan, and like, hey, let's watch some martial arts and hockey. And she's like, hell yeah. She liked it until the very end because she never knew who won the game. It was funny as hell. Because she was a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. And of course, one of the teams is the Penguins.
Yeah.
Sure. But I love all the fights that he does. We even got a fight with him fighting the Penguin. Someone in a...
the mascot.
The mascot. Yeah. And of course, the person gets hit, it's like, nothing. Jean-Claude kicks it, it's like hitting a giant stuffed animal. It's funny as hell. And the fucking ending was great with the helicopter. I was like, it's over the top, crazy, stupid shit, but it's just fun.
Yeah, for sure, man. I remember we actually covered that. That was one of our early shows, too, Van Damme Spotlight.
Yep.
You know, all I remember is Powers Boop, this blowing people away and shit, like, yeah. killing just random people. I'm like, holy shit, this movie's awesome.
That's actually my favorite out of the ones we watched. It was right up there. It was awesome.
It's fucking great. Wow.
My number 12.
Nice. Good shit, man. Number 11. You might be shocked that I actually have a sequel to another 90s movie on this list. But it's because I like the sequel more. And that is Under Siege 2, Dark Territory.
Oh, cool.
Actually my favorite Steven Seagal movie.
Really?
Yeah, I love... It's
Seagal on a train.
Yeah, I love it. It's so... I love the bad guys in this movie. You got, you know, Eric Bazillon as the main villain of this movie, but his goon squad's fucking amazing in this movie. You got Everett McGill, Patrick Kilpatrick. They're part of, like, the main goons of the movie, and it's great. You know, Everett McGill, of course, you probably remember as the Reverend from Silver Bullet, you know. And Patrick Kilpatrick was the Sandman in... what the fuck's that Van Damme movie where he's in the prison? Death Warrant?
Death Warrant.
Yeah. So it's fucking great. It's fucking great. But, you know, got Morris Chestnut up in that. You got a young Katherine Heigl as Casey Ryback's niece. And I kind of like the dynamic with Morris Chestnut in this one, too, with Seagal, where he's a cook, too. He's the cook of the train, you know. Ryback was the cook on the boat in the first movie, so it's a good callback to the first movie. I just have so much fun, and I like the train setting a little bit more than the boat, because they do a little bit more with the train. You know, he actually throws people through the rails and shit and kills them with the train.
Yeah.
So I like that aspect of it, and the ending's great. I love, like, the big explosions and shit. It's fucking great. It's a great sequel. It's kind of an underrated sequel that no one ever talks about when they talk about action sequels, because it does everything that the first one did, but a little bit better, and it has a better goon squad in it. But, you know, I love Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Busey, but do you remember any of the side villains of the movie?
I remember a couple.
You know? From the first movie?
Yep.
Like, do you remember, like, the actual
villains? The names? No, but I just know, like, the scenes.
Yeah, you know, I know that, but, you know, it was cool to see, like, them as, like, henchmen, you know, instead of, like, the, you know, they were the, you know, it's usually the adversaries that are the main focus,
mm-hmm.
that type of deal. It had kind of had, like, that Die Hard feel, the second one, where gotcha. You get to know, like, the villains, the side villains a little bit more, like, they're more memorable because they're people that you recognize, kind of like the Asian dude from Die Hard 1.
He's always the bad guy in, like, all those action movies.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it kind of had that feel with the bad guys in this one. That's what I'm saying. You know. But that's about it. It's still a fun sequel, and I enjoy it. Tubby, did you ever see that one?
I have not.
Andy?
Shit, it's probably been since, like, the 90s.
Alright, next show is going to be The Professional and... Die Hard Under Siege 2.
Just the sequel. Some Steven Seagal. Judo chop.
Alrighty, it's my turn.
Yep.
Alright, sweet. My number 11, right?
Yep.
I'm sorry, I'm losing track of numbers. I've been drinking a little bit. to go back to W's last pick, my number 11 is also Rumble in the Bronx. It's by far like my favorite American Jackie Chan movie. It's just great action. Of course, set in like New York and early 90s New York and everything like that. Great stunts, and Jackie Chan's just the man. I don't really have much more to say about it that W didn't say. It's a great, great film.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Quick question. Was that American movie or was that like a Hong Kong movie that they dubbed over?
Nope, it's American.
Okay, I always wondered that.
It was the first one that was brought over to America was Rumble in the Bronx.
Exactly.
Which started his Americanized career pretty much.
Okay.
And then they started overdubbing and started putting all that shit in the rental stores. Years later, because that's when I started seeing Drunken Master, like the OG ones.
Yeah, Operation Condor.
And the police stories.
Oh, I love police stories, man.
Yeah, I was thinking back to like Operation Condor might be my favorite Jackie Chan movie after thinking about it. It's been a while since I watched any of these, though. That's the thing. I gotta pick up some of those Jackie Chan Blu-rays at 88 Films and boom up.
Yeah, I actually found a Jackie Chan Blu-ray at the dollar store.
Really?
I had to buy it on Blu-ray. It's gonna be on my list, so I'm not gonna tell you which one it is until it's on my.
Okay. Gotcha.
Like this is actually one of the ones I actually did upgrade because I found it for a fucking buck.
Good shit. Who's next?
I'll be Dubster.
Alright, so number 11 is actually something that's kind of based and probably could relate to the homie Derek as well. And that is kind of something based in Boston for sure, and that is Boondock Saints.
Nice.
I always forget this is a 90s movie.
Yeah, man.
Well, me too. I always thought it was like early 2000s.
No, 99. Fucking great fucking film, man. Just a great relate, you know, these brothers and their whole relationship and kind of the battle with the religion. But, you know, this dark, sinister side and the amazing antagonist, one of my favorite actors, William Dafoe. So I'm automatically going to have a soft spot for this film, but fucking love Boondock Saints, man. You know, just a cult classic. It's kind of funny if you look this up. 28% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, What the fuck?
Yeah, it's one of those cult films for sure.
Dude, like, how can you rate this 28%, though? Like, that just blew my mind. Like, it's a great film. Great film.
Oh,
it is. I mean, it's not a 10, but it's you know, an 8 or an 8.5. It's great.
It's going to probably reappear soon. Well, not soon, but it will reappear.
Nice.
It will come soon.
Yeah. Glad it's getting some love.
I totally love that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought it was like a 2000. It had a weird release history, too, this movie, because I remember it being in Blockbusters around like early 2000s, that type of deal. It had like a weird release, I remember that, and then it blew up a little bit more than usual. I think it was like a Blockbuster exclusive release for a while.
It actually was. Yeah. The DVD I have, I actually got from Blockbuster when it was closing. and it has the little sticker on it, Blockbuster exclusive.
Yeah, it's definitely made a long way because Arrow Video actually put this out in the UK. And nice collector's edition, so it's getting some love around the other countries, you know. It's getting love somewhere, you know.
Yeah. All right. So my number 12. Let's see. 11. Okay.
11.
Sorry. Gotta go in order here. I didn't put numbers on it. I just put them down going, shit, where are we? 11. From 1996, we're going Escape from L.A.,
Oh, shit, nice.
Gotta smoke.
It's so cheesy. I love the surfing scene. It's done so weird. Right out of nowhere, we're Bushini. Surfing in fucking destruction of L.A. Snake Piskin is back. I love Snake.
He's the best part of the movie, for sure. It's definitely a downside from the first one, though. You gotta admit.
It is a downside, but I still have fun with it.
Yeah, it can't be fun. It's definitely like a parody of the first one, almost.
Yeah, that's what I hate about it, though.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know. I don't like the... You know, it's not as memorable in my... I don't hate it. I just don't love it, either.
Well, okay.
That's just... Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like... Because it's like, the first one's just so epic and good, it's like, how can you top it? So it's like, let's just go the total opposite direction, and it kind of works.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just don't like the whole basketball scene, too. It's fucking kind of...
It didn't make my list, but it's an honorable mention. But, yeah, I like that one.
We'll have to maybe do a show so I can rant about it later, but, yeah, good shit, Matt.
Thank you. Now we're actually in the top 10.
Oh, top 10 time.
Break, Tom.
Yeah, that sounds about good. Maybe we'll take a little break, refresh, get a few other drinks, and then we'll be right back. All right? So we'll see you soon. Peace. Take a little music break.
Yeah, music.
are back, everybody. Top 10 time.
Top 10.
Yeah. You guys ready? Top 10?
Let's do it.
10.
Do it.
All right. My number 10 is a movie that's already been mentioned, and that is Last Action Hero.
Nice.
Yeah, I love this movie. Everything Dubby said, I agree with. It's a great nostalgia piece. I like the kid aspect of this one. I think it's Austin O'Brien who plays the kid in the movie. And I love that he's a movie fan. He's like us, in a sense.
Exactly.
And I like that aspect where he's like name dropping, like when F. Murray Abraham comes to the movie, he's like, don't trust that guy. He killed Mozart. Who is Mozart? I love that. Charles Dance is great as the bad guy in this movie. I love that he has a different glass eye every time he's on screen.
Yeah.
And also, we also mentioned him a little bit earlier, Mr. Tom Noonan, as the Ripper. I love the aspect that he comes back into play in the movie. Really cool scene. I love the Ripper, the look of him. Fucking creepy as fuck. It looks like Zach. yeah, John McTiernan directed this, of course, directed Die Hard, Die Hard with a Vengeance. So he knows what he's doing. Great soundtrack. Has one of my favorite Megadeth songs ever, Angry Again. Fantastic AC/DC, Big Gun. Great soundtrack to this movie.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what can I say? Awesome shit. And also the last performance of Art Carney. One of his last movies, actually. I think it actually might be his last role. You know, he plays a Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, the movie character version of his uncle in the beginning. Yeah, good shit.
I like the tropes that they use, like when he punched the window. That hurt.
Oh, and I love the whole jab at Stallone. Stallone was good in Terminator 2. Yeah. I like that, you know, little cameo by Robert Patrick, too.
And Jean-Claude had a cameo in it, too.
Yeah, and you know, who's the voice of the animated cat?
Who?
Danny DeVito.
Is he?
Yeah. Hey, John, let's go.
It's a long time since I've seen that movie. Jeez.
Oh, it's great. It's fucking great. It's fucking awesome. Andy.
Alrighty, number 10. Gonna have a... Unlike the 80s episode where I only try to pick one actor, I'm gonna have a couple repeat actors on this episode. And a man that was on fire in the 90s, and again, Harrison Ford in The Fugitive.
Nice.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't care.
Yeah, I always liked The Fugitive. I even like the like semi remake U.S. Marshals with Wesley Snipes. But yeah, The Fugitive is a fun little cat and mouse chasing wrongfully accused type movie. Some cool action scenes and yeah, it's a fun film. I like it a lot. You guys a fan of The Fugitive?
I dig it. What are you gonna say, anybody?
Yeah, that's what's cool. Actually, in North Carolina, you can go, and there's actually still the wrecked train from The Fugitive you can go visit.
Really?
Yeah, that's pretty badass. But yeah, that's a great film, as you said. It's a great cat and mouse.
Yeah, Andrew Davis directed that, I believe. He also directed the first Under Siege movie, which makes sense. Tommy Lee Jones connection.
Yeah, I love Tommy Lee, man.
Yeah. I think one of his first movies was actually this is kind of weird, because another actor from The Fugitives in his, like, one of his first movies, The Final Terror. Did you guys ever see that?
Is that the one that Screen Factory put out?
Yeah, Joey Pantalone, you know, he's in that movie, and he's in The Fugitive, so he always reuses actors, this guy. So that's kind of cool.
Nice. So number 10, dun, 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 that is Terminator 2. Yes.
Well, I guess if we were taking bets on who's number one, what number one everybody's movie was, I guess I would be wrong.
Yeah, man. It's a classic for me, but it's definitely not my number one. Nostalgic City, there again for me. I remember playing the fucking game in the arcade.
Yeah.
Yeah, the arcade, first-person shooter, fucking fun-ass shit. But, you know, young Edward Furlong playing a young John Connor. I just like the shape-shifting. Of course, Robert Patrick really makes this film for me. I just thought it was cool. It really added an antagonist to the whole, you know, Terminator mythos. And kind of flipped the switch and kind of made your Arnold Schwarzenegger is kind of the good guy in this one. And spoiler alert, I'm actually a bigger fan of the first film myself, but I still do like T2, so that's number 10 for me.
Sweet. Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, I might be talking about this a little bit later, but yeah, we'll save it for that. Let's just put it that way.
All right, my number 10 has been said before, from 1999, and that's the Boondock Saints.
Nice.
It was a firefight.
I don't know. I fucking love this movie. It reminds me of so much of another film that I'll be mentioning later on down the road. But I don't know. Just grew on me. I have Irish descent in me, so of course the whole thing was fantastic. A buddy of mine, we just constantly watched it like 3 times, like in one day. The sequel, but the original's the best.
Yeah, let's not talk about that sequel. Cause
yeah, the sequel does kind of fall flat a little bit. But
well, let's just put it this way. The ending of the sequel is the best part of the sequel.
Yeah, that's true.
Know, Willem Dafoe, well, spoiler alert if you haven't seen anybody, Willem Dafoe's character is dead for the whole movie, and he just comes out of nowhere. I'm like, oh!
Yeah.
Like, there he is.
There he is. This is great again. Finally, after fucking an hour and a half. You know, because, you know, that's they have fucking Judd Nelson trying to be a Boston gangster. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, Judd Nelson. You were a terrible bad guy in Steel. And, you
but,
know,
but there's so many, just like, it's almost like an art house gangster flick in a way, mm-hmm. too, man. There's some cool fucking shots in this film. Like, I could have had it higher on my list, honestly, but it's great.
In the theaters, I think it made like $5,000 or $5 million. It's like something very low budget.
You know what hurt it? Was the actually came out the same time as the Columbine.
Yeah.
And yeah, so theaters like were dropping it left and right and shit, and it pretty much went straight to video after that.
Yeah. Fucking scene I always remember from this movie too is Ron Jeremy plays one of the gangsters. You know, Rocco's telling the joke and he's like, "Say N-word." And I love that he dies in a fucking porno, a nudie place where he's in like a, you know, one of those glass cases and he's rubbing his junk, cutting his junk. You know,
Shot the cat. Sorry, I shot your cat.
And I just want to say one thing also about the sequel though. Because I actually really like Cliff Collins Jr. as an actor, but his character as the sidekick that replaced Rocco was fucking annoying in that movie. And nothing against the actor, because I've seen him in other things and I liked him. But Rocco's, you can't replace Rocco. He was the greatest like sidekick character ever. I love that, you know, they even shoot his cat in the scene where they shoot.
Oh, poor cat, that scene, you're like, bam. And Norman Reedus, I thought, did an awesome job playing the brother.
Yeah. He was always good. Fucking Sean Patrick Flannery is weird now. He looks like a totally different person. Like, he had so many facelifts, it's fucking nuts. You wouldn't even recognize him if you've seen him now.
No, I haven't. In some of the newer films I've watched them in, like, that's him? Like, what the hell?
What's he, like, he looks like he got hit by, like, a meat patty or something.
Anyway, he's trying to follow Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, he's going to the same plastic surgeon as Mickey Rourke.
Well, he doesn't go the same one as Tara Reid.
I don't know. Did you see Mickey Rourke
lately? Oh, yeah. He looks bad, too.
Good shit, Matt. Back to me, huh?
Back to you.
All right, number nine. And this film was just mentioned 5 minutes ago, Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Nice.
Wow.
It goes down on rewatch for me.
It does, man.
I used to love John Connor as a kid. But I'm like, when I'm getting to other movies, I'm like, why didn't he just fucking die? I just can't stand Edward Furlong and, like, the world. I ordered you not to go. It's fucking terrible. I ordered you not to go. I ordered you. You know, it's just so cringeworthy, some of the lines. You know, I love Linda Hamilton. It's still a great movie, though. You know, if I was going to say this, Terminator 2 is the better action movie. Terminator 1's the better made sci-fi movie. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, that kind of does.
You know, it's definitely a more action-packed sequel, and it's big in numbers. It's great, and, you know, some of the other sequels kind of hurt this one more for me because they involve the John Connor character, and it gets kind of annoying. That's kind of why, spoiler alert, I liked Dark Fate, which I know a lot of people might not have seen yet, so I'm not going to spoil what happens in it. But, yeah, Dark Fate was the way to go after the second one.
Nice.
Fuck yeah.
Sweet. All right, my number nine, correct?
Yep.
All right, sweet. It was a film that was mentioned already, but not it didn't actually make anybody's list yet, or I don't know if it's going to, but starring the one Jean-Claude Van Damme from the year 1990, we're going early 90s here, it is Death Warrant.
That's a good one.
Yeah, what can you say? It's like a weird supernatural prison action kung fu movie. It's also like a slasher film in a way too. I always liked Death Warrant. It's one of the best Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Besides another movie that may or may not make my list. I enjoy this one. You guys like Death Warrant?
Oh yeah.
I dig it. I forget the guy who plays the warden's name, but he's always in every movie. He was in, like, the Blob remake as Shawnee Smith's dad, the guy who plays the warden. He always had that, like, dick look to him that I liked. Of course, Patrick Kilpatrick is the Sandman. Fucking fantastic. It's been a while since I've seen this, but it's great. The Jean-Claude Van Damme movies are very nostalgic pieces in their own right. You know, in that aspect.
Definitely of their time.
For sure.
Ready.
All right, so number nine. It's going to be all out of sorts as far as my order goes, but I don't even care because it's Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
Go
Ninja, Go Ninja, Go
Ninja, Go. That's right. Fucking Vanilla Ice himself. In Super Shredder, man, you got Kevin Nash and the bitch.
So
this was Nostalgia City for me, man. I watched this film way too many times to mention, honestly. Like, it's sad.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah, I just always loved this. From the opening to the end, it got more comical. It wasn't as serious, or I really don't even consider it as good of a film as the first one, but it pulls on my heartstrings and gets all those nostalgic points, man. It's where it's at. It's the best Ninja Turtles it's my favorite Ninja Turtles. It's not the best, but it's my favorite.
Fuck yeah. I love it too, man.
All right. My number nine from 1996 is Jackie Chan's First Strike.
Nice.
Yeah. I liked it better than Rumble in the Bronx. I don't know. The fight scenes are insane. He fights a fucking guy with a ladder, for crying out loud. And he's just flipping back and forth, and you know, he does his own stunts and everything. He is actually diving through the rudders. I was like, holy fuck.
I feel it. Because, I mean, yeah, there's some great action sequences. Super Cop, Drunken Master 2. There's some great action all through Jackie Chan 90s catalog, for sure.
Except for the koalas. But other than that, I love the movie. He fights guys underwater, the Russians, and all of a sudden the sharks eating people, so now you have a killer shark scene.
I see what you did there. That's awesome. Good shit, Matt. Number 8, right?
Yep.
Number 8, Welcome to the Rock. The Rock, probably Michael Bay's best movie.
Yeah, it's going to be on there. Some Sean Connery.
Yes, Nicolas Cage, come on, we can go fight Ed Harris now. Let's do it.
I'm embarrassed to say now Derek's going to make another show now. I've never seen The Rock.
Oh, we're doing The Rock, Professional, and Under Siege 2 next show.
This show is going to get longer and longer.
You got to see The Rock, man. You'll love it. If you like, yes, it's a good story and actually has an interesting story background with the villains of this one. I like Ed Harris as the bad guy in this one. Actually, interesting Goon Squad. You got fucking Melvin from Renaissance Man and fucking Tony Todd. Tony Todd's one of the goons in this movie.
He's the Rocket Man.
You know, it's fucking great. And fucking, you know, you got a lot of great side actors in this movie, like Michael Biehn, fucking William Forsythe. Tons of, if you notice like half the goons, like the Hero Goon Squad that they send in, you'll recognize them from other movies. It's fucking nuts. Michael Bay went all
in. Take much pleasure in gutting you, boy.
Oh, yeah. Sean Connery's memorable in this movie. I love the scene where there's a scene where he gets a haircut because, you know, when we first introduced him, he's got long hair because he was in prison for years. And, you know, the stylist that cut his hair, you know, he's trying to escape and he's in the elevator with Sean Connery. I don't want you to hurt me, but I just want to know if you liked your haircut. Yeah. Big giant chase sequences, you know, it actually has some heart. I like, you know, the buddy dynamic that Connery and Cage end up having at the end of the movie to survive.
Yeah. I like the part where they're in the cells. He's like, I like the underground part. I thought that was cool. But how the hell did you get out of your fucking cell? It's always how Cage's character just goes from like a normal tone to just like a flip out tone.
Yeah. You know, there's like this whole subplot where he loves collecting vinyl. This is kind of when vinyl is kind of out of the picture. Like, why don't you get CDs? Because vinyl sounds better, man. It's kind of weird watching it with today's eyes and vinyl's back in.
Yep.
You know, and you know, it's just funny. And you know, Connery's is great in this movie. He steals the show. It's fucking great. It's like a great later day Connery movie.
Nice.
The air conditioner scene. I love it. Why is it doing that? It's normal. Move on.
It's so good. Gotta see it, Andy.
I gotta check it out. Yep. Alrighty. Number 8. It's a movie that took me a really long time to see. I didn't see it to the first time to maybe like 5 years ago. But it's a Will Smith film, Enemy of the State.
Good, from one of my favorite directors, Tony Scott.
Yeah, I this movie, like, I always thought, like, when it came out, I was just like, kind of like a cheesy, generic, you know, film. But it blew me away when I watched it. It was really, really good. Now it's something that I watch quite often whenever I feel like watching a Will Smith movie. I really like this one. You guys big fans of it?
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Yeah, man, I'm actually a fan of Tony Scott as well. It's, I mean, true romance. He holds it down.
Yeah, fucking the thing I like about this movie is Gene Hackman's character in it, because it's kind of like his. If you ever seen the movie in the 70s called The Conversation, Andy, it's kind of like Gene Hackman's playing an older character version of that character from that movie that he played in The Conversation. You know, the kind of deals with the same subject matter, espionage, and listening in and tracking people. It kind of has that same feel for a different era. So I like that aspect of it. And, you know, crazy cast in this one that pops out of nowhere. The bad guys list is insane. You got fucking Stuart Wilson. Speaking of Ninja Turtles 3, he was the bad guy in that movie. you know, and Gabriel Byrne, Jack Black, Seth Green, John motherfucking Voight. You got fucking coked out Tom Sizemore as a mob boss. You know, even fucking Lisa Bonet is in this movie. You know, it's got a crazy cast that you wouldn't see. This is, you don't make movies like this anymore with like crazy side actors doing smaller roles. They usually have to be big stars and, you know, smaller stars as like the side roles. And that's the aspect of Tony Scott, Jerry Bruckheimer movies from this era that I like. You get like these bigger actors in smaller roles. So I like that aspect of it. Even Jason Lee's in this movie. He's the guy in the beginning.
Yep.
It starts the whole fucking craziness. It's a great espionage spy slash action movie. It does have action in it.
But yeah, it's kind of like out of the movies on my list. It's like the least amount of action, but I felt like I needed to mention it. And it's just so good that it had to be higher up on the list.
Yeah, Tony Scott's an interesting director because all his movies, you could tell that it's a Tony Scott movie because it has like the same cinematography in a lot of his movies. Like, he did Top Gun, Days of Thunder, fucking True Romance, Revenge. Revenge is really the movie that kind of set off the template of this style of cinematography for him, where it's got that oozy look to it, which I like too. Good pick.
Nice. So we are at number 8.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I have a film from 1990. The man, the myth, the legend, The Hall of Ironside. And this is starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Total Recall. Fucking just classic sci-fi shit right here, man. I mean, admittedly, I'm not even a huge sci-fi guy, but this is one of the greatest sci-fi films ever, as far as I'm concerned. Just a crazy utopian environment. What a crazy just imagination created here. You know, it's cool you got Dan O'Bannon involved in the creation of this. Great score. Great futuristic, just classic shit, man. You gotta love Total Recall. I'd hope somebody here is a fan of that one.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
It could be on a list here and there.
Yeah, I would think so.
It could be. You never know. You never know.
All right.
Sorry.
My number 8, we're going to 1992. And the sequel's been said, but I'm going with the original, and that's Under Siege. With good old Steven Seagal.
Missed your lie.
Now, you said you don't recognize some of the bad guys. But was it George Chung? He was one of the main bad guys, one of the secondary bad guys. Colm Meanery. He was a Star Trek Next Generation as like the Scotty character. He's been in a bunch of films. There's a bunch of other ones, but I love some of the fights that all takes place on the battleship. I love the fucking beam kill. That was just insane. That just made me go, oh! I loved it. And of course, the second one is really good too, but I like the first one better than the second one. But that's just me.
It's all good. I do like the chick in the first one, Miss July, yeah. When she's feeling her titties.
Yeah, we get to see some titties in the first one.
Yeah, you know, Miss
July. I saw that cheek.
Nothing wrong with no titties.
Isn't that the chick from Bordello of Blood?
No, that's not Angie Everhart.
No, it's not Angie Everhart. I meant the main girl, not the vampire girl, the one that's sort of like, you know, her brother's Corey Feldman.
Erica Elnick?
Yeah.
I gotta look her up to see if she's in the Blob remake.
Isn't she the chick with the tits in that one too? And you know, she's in her car and fucking the Blob.
Fucking guy opens up her shirt.
Yeah. I do feel it's the chick from Bordello of Blood, and Dennis Miller's like, you remind me of somebody in the whole movie.
What year was Bordello of Blood?
96, I think.
96. And, yep, she was Bordello of Blood. Catherine Bardu.
Bam! I was right as usual. I'm a nerd, I know.
He knows his chicks.
I know my Bordello of Blood. It's a guilty pleasure movie for the wrong reasons. It's so cheesy. I'll admit Demon Knight's a better movie, but Bordello of Blood's kind of a better Tales of the Crypt repetition because it's trashy. It's got like that more of a Tales from the Crypt episode feel.
The Tales from the Crypt ritual is pretty good too. The one that's like the third one that's actually a episode, but they turned into a full length movie.
Oh yeah? I haven't seen that one.
It's got Tim Curry in it.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, there's a couple other big names. I forgot who, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll check that out sometime.
Yeah, Tales from the Crypt ritual.
Good shit. Good shit, Matt. Back to me already, damn it. Alright, so my number 7 is a film that was mentioned already, and of course, Dubby and Andy never seen it, and that's The Professional. You motherfuckers.
Sorry.
You guys are terrible.
Damn.
Of course, directed by Luc Besson. What can you say? If you have seen like any like Taken movie, he wrote all those. you know, he's been around forever. You know, La Femme Nikita was like his first major hit, and that was remade into like Point of No Return with fucking Bridget Fonda. But Professional is really where his career in America went off, and then he went to direct The Fifth Element. What the fuck else is he? He's done some crazy movies. You see a lot of like the modern action movies. He actually wrote a lot of them, like Taken. What the fuck's the other one he did? Fucking Kiss of the Dragon with Jet Li. He wrote fucking Uncaged, one of my favorite Jet Li movies. Oh, I love that movie. But Jean Renault and Natalie Portman's chemistry in the movie is what really sells the movie in general. Where it's pretty much her family all gets killed in the beginning of the movie. And he's like, does the right thing and takes her in. And that's how he gets involved. And they go on a journey together. And it's kind of like a weird relationship, even like some of the cuts. It's kind of, she's in love with him, but you know, he doesn't want to be a part of that aspect of it. He treats her like a girl still, but she's pretty much looks after her while Gary Oldman plays this crazy corrupt cop who likes to choose pill in a certain way. You got to see it. I can't really do it justice off camera for you guys. But maybe on camera I'll do it later. But his character's just bizarre in the movie. Gary Oldman's like one of those actors that when he gets into a role, he gets into a fucking role and he's fucking great. I want everyone. What do you mean everyone? Everyone!
Yeah, he goes nuts.
Yeah, he's nuts. A fantastic performance. Like I said earlier, Danny Aiello, great. It's kind of great ending, very touching, and heartbreaking at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to really give anything away, but yeah, that's going to be on the next episode anyway, so see you then, guys.
Alrighty. Whatever number we're on, it's what was already mentioned, and I have to agree with my man W here. It's got to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Yes, yes.
I totally agree that the first one is a way better movie, but part 2 is just so nostalgic to me, man. I love it. The whole vanilla ice scene, Gold Turtles go. Fuck, man. Super Shredder, Kevin Nash. even though Super Shredder is only for like 2 minutes in the whole film, it's still an awesome moment in the film when he comes through the pier, all you know, jacked up and shit. Oh, fuck. I love TMNT too.
Fun. Yeah. Fun shit. Dubby.
So we are on number 7?
Yep.
So classic crime drama action, and that is a Michael Mann classic, Heat. Gotta love this film, man. Amazing cast, Al Pacino, De Niro, and Val Kilmer, which Val Kilmer had a fucking killer 90s lineup, which I didn't really realize until looking at this list or this lineup, but... Honestly, I mean, just one of the best crime action films ever, honestly. It's a very long film, but it's fucking epic, man. Definitely stick around for this one. Guys are a fan of this. Heat.
I'm a big, big fan of Heat.
I'm a big, big fan.
Fuck yeah.
I will spoil this. It did not make my list. I was indecisive if I wanted to count it as an action film or a straight up crime film.
Because it does have an action set piece, but it's pretty much in the
crime drama. Yeah.
It's mostly like, you know, conversations and relationship stuff with Pacino and his second wife and her stepdaughter. Also Natalie Portman.
I have never seen Heat.
Fun fact about this movie I learned one time. I was watching a documentary on, it might have been like Scarface or something, but it was the first time ever on screen that Robert De Niro and Al Pacino paired on screen together.
Yeah.
It's so funny considering like The Godfather 2 and everything, even though it was different time periods and everything. Just so crazy to think that it took that long for those two to be on screen together.
Yeah. You never seen this movie, man?
No, I have not.
Book it for the next episode.
Coming soon. Professional, second episode. Professional, The Rock, and Heat. Mark it down. Good shit, Andy.
That was Dubby.
No, Dubby. Jesus Christ, it's getting late, guys. Don't mind me.
That's okay. I'm like on my 10th beer.
Number 7?
Yep.
All right. We're going for number 7 from 1997. And that's Face Off.
Oh, shit.
John Woo, yo.
Yep. I fucking love it. It's so fucking crazy and weird.
How can it not be weird with those two?
I know.
It's just weird. The whole weird aspect of this movie, which I still don't get, is like this whole futuristic prison.
Very futuristic. It's weird.
It's weird because the rest of the movie looks normal, and you get to this prison with these magnetic boots, and it's weird.
Has to try.
I love the scene where he's like just grabbing the nun's ass. Oh. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. The thing spoiler, it didn't make my list, but I love the dynamic that they actually played two different versions of each actor does, like Travolta and Cage. You get crazy Cage in this movie, and you get sincere Cage when he's playing not Caster Troy Cage. And then you get fucking Travolta being sincere, and then you get Travolta being a fucking crazy. Papa's got a new bag, baby. I love that scene. You know, it's a cool movie. It's just very odd. It's an oddity of that time period for sure. And, you know, John Woo tried to do it again in Paycheck, and that movie sucked. You know, with that weird futuristic bullshit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's weird because Joe Bob Briggs is in this movie is like that guy that's zapping people in the electric chair. Oh, it's fucking weird. Weird movie. John Carroll Lynch. Fucking weird cast.
Very weird. That's so much fun. The whole object of actually changing faces, really. But somehow they keep the same body. That made no sense.
Yeah, like, you know, you see, like, Travolta's, like, a chubbier dude and shit.
Yep.
Clearly taller.
Very tall and very more broader, and Cage is a little smaller. It's like, wait a minute, these bodies don't match.
Like, how do they do that? And, you know, it's weird.
Yep.
It's a weird one.
It's a fun one.
But it's got Gina Gershon on it, so it gets plus. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm next again, huh? Number six. You guys ready for this?
Let's do it.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm an Arnold Schwarzenegger whore. True fucking lies.
Nice.
Nice. Somebody's.
Tom Arnold in this movie. Fucking hilarious.
I actually had it on my list, but I had to take it off for something else.
I just like the dynamic that Jamie Lee Curtis and Schwarzenegger have in this movie. It's so much funny when, you know, that all I remember when I was a kid is her sexy dance. I'm like, this is the sexiest Jamie Lee Curtis ever looked in a movie.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's the only time she's actually looked that way.
Man, that yogurt she eats. Woo!
Activia! but yeah, it's great. You know, you got my young Beantown girl, Elijah Dushku, as the daughter. You know, going to being like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and like Wrong Turn later. Fucking great movie. Tia Carrere again on my list is this bitchy fucking villainous lady. I love that aspect of it. Bill Paxton's one of his best roles is, you know, the guy who's like, I'm a big fucking spy, yo, and then later on we find out he's faking the whole thing and he pees himself twice in the movie.
He's all crying.
It's fucking great character. R.I.P. to Bill Paxton.
And there's a lot of cool one-liners in the movie, especially at the end.
Yeah.
You're fired. One of the best deaths ever.
It's so great. It's fucking awesome. And, you know, I love the scene where Jamie Lee's just holding this machine gun and, you know, she drops it down a thing of stairs and it kills all the bad guys instantly. It's fucking, you know, it's like one in a million chance that it would ever happen, but it's fucking great anyways.
And Arnold's face was just like, what?
You know, it's like that, it works better that way in certain, you know, like when things don't shut your brain off in that sense, where it has a dynamic where the actor's actually reacting to it, where I was saying late earlier with like Escape from LA, it's in your face and no one's kind of making a pun of it. That's what I'm kind of getting at. It works a little bit better when you have the actors even like, whoa, what the fuck? You know what I mean? In that aspect, but you know, it's a fun movie. True Lies. Great ending. Awesomeness.
Sweet. Alrighty. My number six, right?
Yep.
I'm forgetting the numbers, man. I feel silly. A film for the actor that I mentioned before, Harrison Ford. It's a kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. I know it's kind of mocked and made fun of nowadays, but that is Air Force One.
Gary Oldman.
Yes.
Nice. That is a good film, man.
I always like this movie, man. Like I said, I'm a sucker for these movies that are set in like these one locations and there's like a hijacking or a bomb planting going on. And, you know, what's crazy than hijacking the president's plane, you know, Air Force One. That's so crazy.
Did we all see this movie?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I want a minor nitpick of the movie.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to really spoil it if no one... I feel like the movie falls flat after Gary Oldman dies and then you get revealed that the other guy's the bad guy. It kind of feels like it's overlong at the end, kind of. Just a little tad bit.
Yeah.
That's my only negative of the movie, because Gary Oldman's the main bad guy of the movie, and then when he dies, the movie's still going on for like another like hour or half hour, you know. But anyways, that's my major nitpick of it, but it's still a great movie. Wolfgang Peterson did a lot of action movies in the 90s too that I really dig.
Yeah. I don't know, I always just liked it, man. It's one of the movies that we rented VHS probably like 1997, 1998 or something like that, and whatever it came out. And it's always stuck with me. It's something that I watch quite often. I don't know.
No. Andy, I was still rated pretty fucking high. That's just a minor nitpick.
No, I agree with that, you know, and the whole thing is the dude could have got away with it, too, if he just, like, kept his mouth.
Exactly. It's like that scene in, like, the, you know, I feel like they were trying to, like, do little sidesteps with The Fugitive with the other bad guy in that movie. Yeah. You know?
But, yeah, I guess that's like a theme of the 90s.
You know?
Yeah.
Twists.
For sure. But good pick.
Nice. Number 6. This is a cult classic, man. Another one that's Nostalgia City. 1994. A guy that we mentioned earlier, Brandon Lee, that is The Crow. Fucking amazing dark superhero film, kind of a Batman-esque story, but you have a rock musician who's basically avenging the rape and murder of his wife that was murdered. And of course, the eerie shit that happened in this film just makes it all kind of crazier, but it's actually a really well-made film, man. Strong, just visual aspects to this film. Cool special effects, whether it be dated or not, but it really works, man. It still holds up. I watched this recently. So, yeah, The Crow, that's a number 6 for me.
Nice. The thing I always liked about The Crow is how good it turned out, especially after what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so much, even before, you know, watch the Shudder documentary on it, and it, you know, they had so much setbacks even before Brandon Lee's death, so it's crazy that it turned out as well as it did.
Yeah, for sure, and, you know, Michael Wincock as the bad guy, he's fucking great. He's a
definitely
underrated bad guy actor. He's even, like, kind of one of my underrated, he's the bad guy in one of my underrated Eddie Murphy movies, Metro, which is kind of a weird movie for Eddie Murphy, because, you know, when you think about it, you think it's going to be like a fucking a comedy movie. It's actually a serious role for Eddie Murphy that no one saw, you know, and kind of ashamed to say that, and it's kind of like on my honorable mentions list, but yeah, fucking Michael Wincott's fucking great in this, and Tony Todd. You even have the fucking Yellow Ranger as the Asian chick. One of her last movies, I think.
Yeah.
Before she died.
Yeah. I always liked The Crow. I always thought it was a good movie. I was just find like the of course, what happened during making the movie, like, far more interesting than the movie, but yeah, all these crazy conspiracies about, you know, what happened and everything. It's a good film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great side cast, too, like Tony Todd and fucking David Patrick Kelly.
Yeah, it's got a lot of big names in it. It's like a million, it's like a love story, it's an action, it's a
horror, it's a revenge movie.
Revenge. We watched it like during Valentine's. It's a great,
very gothic, too.
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
All right. My number 6. Excuse me. We're going back to 1992 with Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs.
Ooh.
Fucking love this one.
Stuck in the middle with you.
Why do I gotta be pink?
You're
very, very cult classic film. But it's a problem.
It's good. It's good. The only thing that it's actually a weird one for me to even. It's an action movie where it's just a bunch of guys talking in a warehouse. There's a few action set pieces, but that's the thing that kind of let. It's kind of. It's more. It's hard with crime movies with me because do I add it or not in that sense?
Yeah, that was one that me that I left off because I was just back and forth. But I have some that, you know, as you've seen with Heat, that I've decided to make it. So it's kind of. It's hard. Yeah.
It's definitely hard in that sense, you know. But still a great movie. No questions there, Matt. So good pick.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, before we get into the top five, why don't we have another song break, guys, and then we'll get back and juice and do the top five. Sound good? So we'll give you a little music from one of the movies mentioned, probably. Uh-huh. But we'll be right back after this. So see you then. Back after that fucking musical break. That musical break was fucking long as shit, huh? That was a long music break, huh, guys?
No doubt.
Biggest break ever. It broke Debbie's internet.
Hey, baby, hey, baby, boy, say, Debbie's internet says, hey, baby. He said, no doubt. That's why I started singing No Doubt.
Oh, God. I get it.
I hear it every night at work. It just happened. Sorry. But are we ready to get into the top fives now, guys?
Top five.
Oh, yeah.
Top motherfucking five. Number five. GoldenEye. The best Pierce Brosnan, James Bond movie, in my opinion.
I'd agree.
Fucking great cast in this. Pierce Brosnan just takes this role of Bond into his stride, you know. I always liked Pierce Brosnan. I even like him in a few of the other movies he did after Bond. You know, Sean Bean is the bad guy. What can you say? This solidified Sean Bean is the guy who died in every movie. And he dies twice in this movie. Spoiler alert. But Famke Janssen, she kills people with her thighs.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking amazing. She gets off on killing people. Fucking great character, great like side villain, and good introduction to the new era Bond. You know, you got Judi Dench as M, great opening song by Tina Turner, just classic stuff. And Martin Campbell, the director of this one, went on to do like Casino Royale later on in the series, so he's probably one of the other directors who directed two Bond movies in different eras of Bond. And they're both great, in my opinion, different styles and shit. If you're a fan of Bond, GoldenEye is probably peak Brosnan, in my opinion. Because it all goes downhill after that. But, yeah, GoldenEye. What can I say? If you're a Bond geek, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Makes a great video game, too.
It does. Different versions of that video game, too, that you keep rebuying for different platforms.
It's just like movies, you buy different versions.
You're speaking that off here, too. That's kind of funny. good shit.
Alrighty, number five for me. You guys ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting to talk about this one all night. Starring the man himself, Nicolas Cage. You ready? Con Air.
Dear Cassidy.
Whoever thought a movie that has a song by Leanne Rimes would be in my top five. Oh, man. I love Con Air, man. It's a great prisoner on a plane fucking action movie. And his little teddy bear get home to his daughter.
Put the bunny down.
Bunny down and Cyrus, what's his
Cyrus
name?
Cyrus the Virus.
John Malkovich,
yeah. And Danny Trejo and
Jipping Rames.
Yeah. What's that guy's name? He's like in all the Adam Sandler movies.
I can't think of Buscemi?
Yeah, Steve Buscemi, man.
Jeremy's
in this movie. He plays like the craziest serial killer on the plane. He's just like the most harmless guy ever. Just want some tea with that little girl. I love Con Air, man. It's a fun film.
Don't forget about the transvestite.
Oh, here. Yeah. He's in a movie. What movie? Dangerous Minds, that guy's from. I always think of him for that.
Con Air is fucking great. Fucking, I love the scene that John Cusack just steals the main FBI dude's car.
I think guy that's in Under Siege. That guy.
Call me. Yeah.
Yeah. Con Air.
Con Air.
I don't
know. And then the director of this movie went on to fucking direct fucking When a Stranger Calls remake. Yeah. That happens. Nice.
Wow, that did happen.
Debbie.
Yes, so number five. So this is a 93 film. To me, this is the best film directed by this director, Joel Schumacher. And this is Falling Down, starring Michael Douglas. I thought it was Nicolas Cage. We've been talking about Nicolas Cage so
much. Imagine if Nicolas Cage is in this movie.
God damn.
You'd be freaking out.
Probably work, actually, yeah.
I want breakfast now.
I'm down on my luck, damn it. But yeah, like, the character, just William Foster, man, Michael Douglas, yeah, he's just, they're getting one down on his luck. He grabs a baseball bat and basically goes to it. And I love the cat and mouse, Robert Duvall, another one of my favorite actors, basically playing as the police sergeant who's on his case. Fucking great film, man. I feel like this is a really underrated film overall, but definitely check out Falling Down if you haven't.
Yeah, you kind of feel sorry for him, too, at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just having one bad day.
Exactly. It's just like one of those days.
It is, man. Definitely is. It's a great movie.
All right. My number five has been said before. From 1990, Total Recall.
Yeah.
Three boobs.
I don't need three tits. Yeah. Consider that a divorce.
I always love that taxi driver dude. That's like a, I don't know if he's like a robot or whatnot. He's like half built into the taxi.
Oh, Johnny Cab.
Yeah.
You know who the voice of Johnny Cab is, right?
Fuck, what was his name?
Robert Picardo.
Who?
Robert Picardo.
Oh, okay.
Played Eddie in The Howling.
Eddie.
I'll give you a piece of my mind, Karen.
0 out of 10 Howling? Is that what we're talking about? Or the 1 out of 10 Howling?
Oh, that's a callback to fucking Bad Memories. Billy Cox. That fucking piece of shit commented on one of the Moods' videos. Your boy Derek banned me. I didn't ban you. We voted. And fucking kicked it. Yeah.
It's unanimous. You're talent.
Andy was like trolling me, like, that guy was right about his review. He didn't even fucking say anything in the review.
This is what IMDb says, and that's it. What?
And then he made it a whole fucking rant about 22 Shots. He didn't even know the name of the fucking podcast show, the fucking thing that he was in. He was like, 22 Shots of something, of something. That fucking guy was a piece of shit. Fuck that dude. You won't listen to it. He's the fucking Tony Moran of Facebook. Fuck that fucking piece of shit.
Oh, damn.
You won't hear this anyways. Because he won't see me because I blocked him on Facebook.
Alrighty.
Who's next?
Jack Miller.
Oh, it's me. Oh, after I went on a fucking rant. Number four, huh? Number four, right? Number four, directed by Mr. John Woo, and that is Hard Fucking Boiled.
Nice.
Fucking amazing movie. Fucking Chow Yun-Fat, kick-ass fucking action scenes. This is prime time John Woo, where you get the... You know, I think The Killer might be the better made movie, but Hard Boil is just the more better action movie, if that makes sense. Great fucking film. If you haven't seen Hard Boiled, it's prime John Woo, in my opinion.
And, never seen Hard Boiled.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Nope, there's another one added to the list.
Shit, book it for the next show.
Actually... I wanted to tell this. This is actually supposed to be the next episode of Celluloid Dissections, but as you guys know, that show, you know, what happened to that show? Said in the last episode, but it was actually an episode that my co-host of No More Room in Hell, Mike Merriman, was supposed to guest on, and maybe one day in the future. We're going to be doing a John Woo retrospective because I kind of promised Mike that we were still going to do Hard Boil in some certain way. So that's going to be one of the next shows that we're going to be doing in the future as we plan it out. Is Hard Boil and maybe like The Killer and pick another movie. Maybe we'll do a Chow Yun-Fat special. Have Andy on too and do the replacement killers, Andy.
Yeah, hell yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, we'll think of something. I'm trying to think of movies to pair with that one, but I'm going to plan that out in the future. But Hard Boiled, fucking rad time, yo.
Sweet. Number four?
Yep.
Number four, we're going back to back with Nicolas Cage movies, the film that's already been mentioned, and that is Face Off. Oh, man, I always love Face Off. The whole premise is bonkers and bad shit, retarded. But it's such a fun, like, Americanized Asian film with the, you know, stylistically and everything. The one scene in the movie that always kind of, like, weird me. I was, like, when, you know, like, they're at, like, the church or whatever, and, like, the doves start flying. So I was like, they just threw that in there to throw it in there.
Oh, it's, man, a Hong Kong thing.
Yeah.
When doves cry.
Yeah. But I've always been a big fan of Face Off, man, ever since I saw it when I was a young lad.
Do you guys like Broken Arrow?
Yes, I do.
It's so funny, like, that's the movie he did after Face Off, right?
Or, yep.
Yeah. And it always cracks me up when I see the Howie Longs in that movie. Face Off, like I said before, Face Off's just a weird movie for, because everything outside, you know, looks normal. Like a normal, like, outside world looks normal, and then you get to this prison scene, and it's like, what the fuck is this? And you're like thinking to yourself, does places like this really exist, and we just don't know about it?
Really? Facial, you know, transplants are a thing?
You know?
Yeah. But you keep the same body length?
It's such a silly premise, but it's so much fun. I don't know what about it.
Fucking Nicolas Cage, of course. We gotta take his face off.
Yeah, he just that goofy ass smile. He's like, I can't do it because this is audio only. But he's just like, it's like losing the shit when he's like takes that drug. Oh, man.
Good shit.
Fucking Face Off.
So, number four. Well, this is borderline action, but we're going to take it out to the Wild West.
Nice.
Yes, to, honestly, possibly the greatest Western film of all time. It's in my top five easily. That is Tombstone from 93. Fucking just fantastic cast and casting, man. Kurt Russell's Wyatt Earp, but Bill Paxton and Sam Elliott, of course. But Val Kilmer, man, as Doc Holliday, of course, steals the show.
I'll be a huckleberry.
I'll be a huckleberry. It's fucking... There's so many classic. And you, of course, you got Cosmatos, which I'm even a fan of his son. You know, it's kind of cool to see, you know, Cosmatos... family legacy, man. They make some quality films, in my opinion. But
yeah,
actually, they really do.
Yeah, Panos actually was the assistant director on this movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Panos is holding it down so far. He needs to make some more shit, but
yeah,
you know, check this out. I think it's on Amazon Prime. I actually watched this again recently. Just like I said, one of the greatest Western films ever, dude. I'm even like so sucked into this film.
Even
so
like the bad guys, the cowboys, are all played by great character actors. Like you got Stephen Lang, fucking Powers Booth, Michael Biehn.
Right. Cast is insane.
Fucking, what's that dude from, who played the Sandman in Spider-Man 3? What the fuck's that actor's name?
Thomas Hayden Church?
Yeah, he's one of the bad guys in this movie.
Yeah.
You even get Billy Zane in this. Jason Priestley. Jason Priestley's in this movie.
New from 90210?
Yeah, he has like a little goatee and glasses. And it's weird because his character kind of has a thing for Billy Zane in the movie. It doesn't go that way, you know, but it feels that way. And then he feels bad after a scene happens.
And then Robert Mitchum is your narrator.
Wow. Yeah. And
oh, my God.
And then so you just get this weird showstopper scene where Charlton Heston comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was going to say Charlton Heston, the man, the myth.
Is this also a Clint Eastwood-type film, too?
It's a Western.
Yeah, it's got action set pieces. Like, this whole, like, okay.
No, like, Was it directed by Clint Eastwood?
No, it was directed by George Cosmatos, the guy who did like Cobra and Leviathan.
Tombstone?
Yeah.
You should check it out, man.
There was one that I saw from the 90s I watched, and I hate to say it, I fell asleep through it. I don't remember if this was the one or not. I don't know if it was a Clint Eastwood type film, or I don't remember.
Dude, it's one of the greatest westerns of all time, though.
Yeah, it's really good. It's definitely. Andy, did you ever see this?
I think I've seen it one time.
I love it.
You know me, I'm not like the biggest Western guy ever.
That's like me too, Andy. They try to get me into Westerns. I'm like, there's a couple.
You know what that means?
This is one of them, though. This is one of them, man. It really is.
It's really... You got Kurt Russell, and you got a scene where Billy Bob Thornton... There's a scene where Billy Bob Thornton plays this asshole, like... he's a poker table guy. You know, the guy doing, like, hand dealer. And, you know, Kurt Russell's like, I need a job, because they just got into town. And Billy Bob Thornton's like, well, that guy has the only job in this place. All right, let's see what happens. Kurt Russell, his white Arab, comes up to the dude. You know, who the fuck are you? And then fucking just cold clocks Billy Bob Thornton in the mouth. It's fucking great. And then later, fucking Billy Bob Thornton comes out with like this fucking two-piece rifle, gonna shoot Kurt Russell. And he's like, is that Doc Holliday? And then fucking he finds out that Kurt Russell's Wyatt Earp. You're Wyatt Earp, and he drops the gun and shit. Like looks like he's about to shit himself.
And then Terry O'Quinn, man. Like,
yeah, Terry O'Quinn's in this as like the sheriff.
Yeah, the mayor.
Yeah.
Western films are like always a genre that I don't know. I just couldn't watch them when I was younger. Maybe now that I'm older, I could maybe appreciate them a little more. Something that I thought about diving into, but it's. I don't know. I'm not very knowledgeable of them. I don't know where to start.
I'll write you out of this, Andy. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right.
Who's next?
Maddie.
Oh, I am?
Yep.
Damn. All right. So number four?
Yep.
96, The Rock.
Nice.
Love The Rock. I remember seeing it in the theater, and I was blown away by all the action and the insaneness of it. Had it on VHS, have it on DVD. Doesn't have a Blu-ray, does it?
Nah, it was weird, because this is a weird movie, because even Criterion released this on like DVD back in the day.
Yeah, I'm surprised this one doesn't have like a big special release and everything. They should.
It's weird, because it's like one of those like early like Touchstone Disney film, so Disney doesn't, it's in like the same kind of boat as like Dead Presidents, where it doesn't have a great release.
God damn, Dead Presidents needs a Blu-ray. I'm sorry.
You know? Yeah, but what can
God
I say?
Damn, The Rock needs a Blu-ray.
Yeah, dude, damn you, Andy. The Rock needs a Blu-ray. I love Dead Presidents, don't get me wrong, but The Rock's like one of. Once you see it, you'd be like, damn, this would be amazing on Blu-ray.
Oh, my God. Well, it'll probably be nice if they get like a 4K of it.
That'd be nice. Come on, Disney. Disney, listen to this podcast. But I don't even care if it's like a movie club exclusive. I'll buy it for everyone here.
Can I go on a rant about Disney really quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Please do.
I'm fuck a subscriber Disney. To Disney Plus because, you know, I was a kid once and I loved Disney movies, but why the fuck do they not have like more of the adult films on there? It's all like the animated movies, and they have all the Disney Channel original movies and stuff, but there's like none of these adult like themed movies on there. It's like you own the rights to them, you might as well put it on there. You know, these kids that grew up watching Disney are adults now, man. They want to watch these movies.
The thing is, they're trying to make a double the money because I guess. What they're doing is since they own Hulu now, they're putting more of the adult-themed shit on Hulu.
I guess. I don't know.
They don't have their Disney channels, therefore they'll probably put a bunch of stuff on there.
Yeah, it's a weird. I get it. It's a marketing scheme where you get to subscribe to both fucking things. But you know, it's what Disney does best is make money.
Yeah.
And buy out other companies.
Yeah, exactly. Soon they'll be fighting against Amazon for the companies because Amazon's buying everything.
I'm gonna buy out Walmart.
Probably the smiley face will turn into giant mouse ears.
That was my rant about Disney.
I hear you. At least I had a good thing to come back with that on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good shit though.
Alrighty.
It was back to me. Number three, of course, a film directed by Robert Rodriguez, Desperado. Yeah.
I forgot about this one. Shit.
Yeah, of course, Robert Rodriguez, huge Western fan himself, so he made a modern-day Western with Desperado. It's pretty much a revenge tale. Guy goes, you know, El Mariachi, the guitar. That's his name. Antonio Banderas goes back in the town to try to find the people that did him wrong. And it gets very weird and very spaghetti western-like, where we find out the bad guy may be somebody in his past and stuff, and you get Selma Hayek added. It even starts out with like a great western trope where they tell the story about the legend of El Mariachi, done in this film by Steve Buscemi. Speaking of, tells the story, before he goes and kills everyone in this bar. You pass the legend around, and I like that aspect about it. It's a great movie. Great Danny Trejo, who's kind of, even if you watch like the trilogy as a whole, it has kind of like a spaghetti western feel where you have characters come back as different characters.
Now, didn't they take his character from this to make Hatchet? Not Hatchet. Machete.
No, that's Spy Kids.
Oh, Spy Kids.
Yeah, his character, Machete, his name is Machete Cortez in Spy Kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Based off this one.
Imagine's kids movie made Machete? Crazy. But yeah, I love Desperado. Dougie, I know you're a big fan of this one too, man.
Huge fan of this one. Might be mentioned shortly.
Oh, I getcha. Andy, have you seen this one?
Yes, I have.
Nice. Good shit, yo.
Alrighty, number three.
Yep.
Alrighty, from the year 1992, from director Tim Burton, it's Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Not sure if anybody else is going to mention this or not, but I fucking love Batman Returns. Just a great cast, you know, Michael Keaton, Batman, Danny DeVito, Michelle Pfeiffer, Christopher Walken. It truly defines like what a Batman movie is, and just the way they nail the atmosphere and of this film, and it's just amazing, amazing story. I love Batman Returns. I prefer it over the original 89 Batman.
Me too. And 89 Batman is a great film, but yeah. Correct. Yeah, Returns is even better.
Yeah.
Probably be hearing about it.
I'm sure I might.
Yeah, it's good. How they changed the Penguin in this one is just weird and great. It makes sense for like a Tim Burton movie. And, you know, I love that the Penguin's a hornball. I like to feel her void. He's just a horny dude in this movie.
Why is the Penguin? If I doesn't get much, so therefore he's probably horny all the time.
Oswald Cobblepot. I need you, Oswald. I need you now. Very good shit.
Perfect.
Were we talking about this movie earlier with Zach, too, where he's like, I forget who he said it to, fucking, I think it was Andy, like, you get hot when fucking Catwoman licks Batman or some weird shit.
It wasn't me, but
Zach's a weirdo. I forget. He's a weirdo, though. Debbie?
Yeah, so this is one that's going to be more borderline. Basically like, you know, like Reservoir Dogs or one of those, but it's a crime drama, but more action that I still had to include, and that's Casino, Martin Scorsese. Fucking just fantastic film overall. Just great environment and setting. Great cast, of course. You got Robert De Niro and Pesci holding it down. Sharon Stone at her hottest. Kevin Pollak, though. James Woods. Long film, but honestly one of the best Scorsese films of all time, in my opinion. I just had to include this one. There's some action. There's crazy backbiting in this one. Like I said, this one more borderline, but I had to include it.
Hall of Ironside inductee, too.
Yes, Casino.
Good shit. Been a while since we did that show. Wow, those were so early, those episodes. Those early days of Cinema Attack when that shit happened, you know?
Alright, my number... What the fuck, we got three?
Three, yes.
Three. 1994, The Crow.
Caw! Yeah.
Caw! 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 it's a film that's, like I said, an action, it's a horror. I don't think it's really horror, but it's romance, it's a sad superhero story. But, yeah, superhero.
Can't like, rain all the mixture time.
Of everything. Fucking love it The Crow. Is.
Ernie Hudson's in that bit.
Gothic Western, like, it is. It's a lot of things, man.
Hell yeah. Crow's fucking awesome movie. And now, on to my number two. You guys ready for the top twos?
Let's do it. Yeah.
This might be one that people would not see coming, but my number two is an animated film from Japan.
Wow.
Titled Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a huge fan of cyberpunk, and this movie's cyberpunk is all fuck. Love it. Fucking great visual style, great story. I even like the Scarlett Johansson live action one. I know a lot of people hated it because, you know, they casted Scarlett Johansson in the role and shit like that, but I still kind of like it. It's not as good as this one, but it's all right. You know, it's a good... It's like people that hate fucking Speed Racer, and I like that movie, too. Come on.
Speed Racer.
Go, you know? Speed Racer, go.
The movie's
nice, like, love the cartoon. I haven't seen the movie, but...
Oh, my God, you got it, W. You'd be, like, mind-blown. Like, they got
I'm gonna check it out. I love the cartoon. I used to. Yeah,
we might have to watch it. We might do that as a show. When yeah, you see, we just think of shows when we do these lists all the time. But yes, Ghost in the Shell, fantastic. Has so many great additions that I actually just picked up the 4K of it. I was very stoked on that. It's just a fascinating visualized film, and if you're a fan of anime like I am, check it the fuck out, yo. Booyah.
Nice. Did you like the live action movie?
I said that during my. I'm sorry. Caught in the act, man. But,
I'm a little biased there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, I did. For the most part, Andy, I did like it. Not as much as this one, but I did like it.
Sweet. Alrighty. All right, number two, which is a film that's been mentioned before, and I'm surprised, like, it honestly wasn't higher on some of you guys' lists, but clearly you're a bigger fan of the original movie than I am, which I do love the original film, but it is Die Hard 3, Vengeance.
Ooh, nice.
Personally, in my opinion, it's my favorite Die Hard film. I always just like this one. I like the Simon Says aspect of it, you know, these all these little games that he's got them on hunting and stuff through New York City. The addition of Samuel Jackson character in this film adds a great dynamic. I love the whole opening part, you know, where he's in Harlem with the sign that says like "I hate the N-word" or something on it. And it's funny as hell. but I've always just fucking loved Die Hard 3: Revengeance. It's like I said, it's my favorite one out of all the movies. But you can't go wrong with the first movie. It's a great Christmas movie.
Oh yeah,
fuck yeah,
good shit. Dumb.
So number two, this was one recently mentioned, the best Batman film of all time, in my opinion, and that is Batman Returns. Fucking, you know, soft spot for days for this one. Classic video game. Check it out for Super Nintendo or Sega as well. But fucking just fantastic, man. I mean, what can we say? Great cast. Perfect. Just, it's honestly one of the best Tim Burton films as well. Great director, and it's one of his best. Just a crazy dark environment, even just from the first 5 minutes with the Cobblepot floating down the stream like fucking like some biblical shit, you know? Like, it's fucking epic, man. I love this film from beginning to end. It's so good. You know, I rated it 10 out of 10. We're not going to do ratings, but Batman Returns, number two.
Hell yeah.
All right. My number two has not been said at all from 1999, and that is The Matrix.
Yeah. That's like number 16 for me. No shit. That's on there. Honorable mention.
Oh, I fucking love all the slow motion and all. And unfortunately,
it invented bullet time.
Yeah. It sucks that the sequels kind of go down in hill, but the first one, I think, is the best part. The whole taking the blue pill, the red pill, and Cowboy Curtis trying to tell you what to pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been years since I've seen this movie, and...
And that one scene, too, that always cracks me up is when they're shooting at Keanu. He does the duck, and then he gets up and does that one move with his two arms and goes, "Whoa!" I fucking die laughing every single time.
Yeah.
Cracks me the fuck up. Yeah, it's got like that cyberpunk kind of to it.
What about it being the next one coming out, directed by... the sisters, is the Wachowski sisters instead of the Wachowski brothers. They have both now became women.
Yeah.
That's real.
that makes you look at Bond in a different way now.
And supposedly Matrix was basically some kind of gay message in a way. I don't know.
I don't know how, but...
Yeah.
That's like that story with like that movie The Strangers from the 80s, The Vagina Monster. Because the director of that movie actually became a woman, too.
I remember watching the special features on that one.
But it's Wachowski sisters are now going to have Matrix 4 coming out soon.
Well, that's why you got to watch the fucking Speed Racer, because the Wachowskis did that, too.
That's wild. But were they sisters or brothers?
I think they were both. I think one was sister. No, I think
that's true. One became before the other, so it's possible.
Peer pressure kicked in.
Oh, PC.
I don't know what's going on anymore. This is the last show of the show, guys.
They didn't take a blue or red pill. They took a yellow pill.
They took the snippet pill.
Took a green one.
No.
Andy, how do you feel about The Matrix? You've been quiet.
I'm not the biggest fan of The Matrix.
Like I said, it's been years. I remember the sequels being fucking horrible.
Yeah, they go downhill, but the first one's the best.
But Bullet Time, man.
Like Bullet Time fucking... destroyed half the 2000s, though.
Yeah, that's true. It got overused. But at the same time... It was a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember liking it for the most part. I like the side characters like Joe Pantalone.
Yeah.
He was in like every one of our lists we mentioned was in some movie.
Yeah. Character actor in a million.
Carrie-Anne Moss. You know, I like her. It's fun. Are we at number ones already?
Yeah.
Friggin' one.
Any guesses what my number one is?
Let's see.
Fuck, you already had it, so I don't know.
No.
Well, I'll just do it this way. So you think this is the real Quaid? It is. Turtle Recall.
Wow, yeah.
Paul Verhoeven. Yeah. Paul Verhoeven, who directed RoboCop, which was my number one of the 80s, also directed my number one of the 90s. Yeah, I love Philip K. Dick story, Blade Runner. He wrote Blade Runner and Total Recall. And, you know, I think even though this one's not really a great adaptation, I think what Dan O'Bannon and the other dude who wrote Alien did was fantastic. And I love Jerry Goldsmith's score in this one. It's amazing.
It really is, dude. It's one of the best scores ever.
You know, it's like epic, like the whole like beginning track. Dun, 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 dun,
it's
dun,
like Star Wars level. Yeah.
And this is, I actually mentioned this, Ronnie Cox plays the greatest asshole in both RoboCop and Total Recall. You know, he's great in both these movies and kind of the same role.
That is true.
And you get, like, a good goon squad with Michael Ironside, and then, I can't think of the actor's name, but he was also the sidekick character of the bad guy in Toy Soldiers, which is an honorable mention for me.
That's a fun film, yeah.
Yeah, he's the second in command of the bad guy in that movie, too. And, you know, he gets killed by the midget, he gets stabbed in the dick. Yeah. Great side cast, great. The effects are amazing, done by Rob Bottin, of course, who did The Thing. And fucking fantastic squibs shooting, and, you know, it's kind of...
Squibs.
Classic. Quaid, open your mind. You know, it's fucking great shit, man. You know, Verhoeven, fucking amazing. Fucking director. I love all his movies. I even love fucking Showgirls. Fuck it. Fuck the haters. It's a fucking trashy classic.
I like Showgirls.
You know?
Sleaze.
Yeah, fucking Basic Instinct. Fucking, Sharon Stone in that movie. Oh, yeah. Good shit. Fucking number one, Total Recall. Is it a dream or is it reality? Consider that to the voice. See you at the party, Victor.
Nice.
It's not a tumor.
Before Andy goes on a side note, that was the biggest booger that he would pick out of his nose in that movie. Tracking the mice out of his nose. Go ahead, Andy.
Alrighty, my number one action film of the 1990s. I was torn between this one and the my number two, Die Hard 3. These two movies are probably two of the most watched movies I own and watch frequently, multiple times a year. And really, no surprise here. It's a film that's been mentioned a few times, I think, by everybody so far. And that is T2, Terminator 2. I'm in a minority here, but I actually prefer T2 over T1. I've always just loved Terminator 2, the whole mall scene, and when Robert Patrick, you know, comes to like the elevator and everything, turning into liquid. I love Terminator 2, man. It's my definition of a perfect action movie, and probably one of the best action movies ever made.
It's iconic, man, and Robert Patrick. That's what made that film for me. He's fucking amazing in that.
Hell yeah. Well, let's put it this way. At least it's not Terminator Salvation, Andy.
No, those later sequels are pretty trash. I did enjoy Dark Fate, though.
Good, good. As you should.
So number one for me.
I already know what it is.
Yeah, you know what it is. It was in my top five personal favorites of all time. So I had to include it as my number one here. And that is Desperado. Fucking just perfection, man. Robert Rodriguez. The way he captures a score, too. Him and John Carpenter are the only two that really make their own scores as they direct their films and write their films. That's the complete director, man. And this movie just kicks it out of the park. I love the characters. Danny Trejo, Cheech is fucking funny in this. But just the overall, just classical guitar, flamenco shred mixed in with this badass fucking gangster bandero. It's fucking amazing, man. Desperado is one of my favorite action. It is my favorite action film probably of all time. So, yeah. Perfection, Desperado, number one.
Nice. Fucking dope shit dub. I always knew it, man. I knew it when number 15.
Love it.
Maddie.
All right, my number one, Terminator 2.
Perfect.
I just love it. Then also, now they're doing a bunch of memes where... what was it? Your parents are dead. Your step parents are dead. There's a bunch of memes going out with that one.
I've seen that. It's awesome.
And I just found it fun. I like the whole liquid eyes robot Terminator. Very good for what it was worth and how it was done. Yeah, Connor can be a little annoying, but it wasn't bad. I find it better. Like the second one's got more of the action to it, where the first one has more of a kind of a horror element more.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I like them both, trust me, but I think T2 is definitely better than T1, but not by much. A little bit.
Philip?
Very sad ending.
Yeah.
I did cry to that ending. I poured you not to go, and he does the thumbs up and just start bawling. It's like Frank and Weenie all over again.
Yep.
Real men cry the Terminator 2.
Is that the first movie with CGI?
Nah, man. First movie with fucking CGI was fucking Ventures of Young Sherlock Holmes back in the 80s.
So it's the first movie with good CGI.
Yeah.
It's T2.
Well, The Abyss came out before. That had pretty okay CGI from what I remember.
Yeah, with the liquid alien thing.
Yeah. Damn. We're just mentioning tons of James Cameron movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Titanic, anybody?
I'm a Titanic fan.
Draw me like one of your French girls, Jack. Kate Winslet's tits in a PG movie. Greatest experience ever from my age. I was 11.
Really? Wow. When did Titanic come out?
97.
I was a fucking... Was I a freshman? Yeah, I was a freshman in college.
Then it took him like 20 years to make Avatar.
It's going to take him another 20 to make the sequel.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's still working on the sequel, isn't he? 10 years later.
No, we already filmed it. He's just working on the pre-effects. He filmed like 3 sequels back to back.
And Disney's made an Avatar world now.
Can you get the fuck a blue rabbit woman in that world?
I think the Avatar porno. Then you do fuck the blue people in that.
Damn, Matthew.
That's probably one movie where I'd probably prefer the porno.
Yeah. It's Pocahontas, dude. Come on.
It's fucking Dances with Wolves.
Yeah. We all know the story. Are we going to do honorable mentions, though?
Yeah, go ahead. You can do a few.
I'll go first. Point Break, man. Nobody said that one. Riccio, Story of Ricky.
Oh.
Nobody said that. Once Upon a Time trilogy. And the Police Story trilogy. And then last honorable mention I gotta have, almost made my list, is Hop Williams' classic Belly.
DMX.
That's a great, it's like art house gangster. That's a great film.
Hop Williams, yo.
That's good shit.
Andy, you got any honorable mentions, Doug?
Yeah, couple here. Let me just pull up my list here. Sorry. Somebody else can go while I get my list if they want.
How about you, Maddie?
I'll say like True Lies, but people talked about that one. But I didn't really come up with a honorable mention list.
Yeah.
I got a couple here. Lionheart.
Oh, yeah.
I know this is a movie you guys had covered on your podcast before, and I happen to be a fan of it. Is the first Mortal Kombat movie.
There you go.
Double Impact, I think somebody mentioned. Here's a movie that wasn't sure if I wanted to put on this list, but I'm a big fan of the franchise, is The Substitute.
I like The Substitute.
Yeah, I can see that. It's like exploitation, action.
I actually like the sequel more, with Treat Williams.
Yeah, Treat.
And my last honorable mention would be The Last Boy Scout.
Yeah. That's definitely one for me. And also,
I heard about Lionheart coming out that time.
Yeah, honorable mentions for me would be like, what's it called? Last Boy Scout's a big one for me. Fortress, Stuart Gordon's Fortress with Lambert. Really like that. Nemesis, Albert Pion classic, direct to video goodness. So many good ones out in that time period that I dug, but yeah, I had to agree with Tombstone, one of the best westerns ever. Fucking great shit, Damien. Good shit, guys. Good list show.
Good show.
Fuck yeah.
I know we didn't discuss, well, we kind of made jokes about what we were going to cover next, but why don't you guys say we get into something for Italian Horror Month for the end of the November?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking we make it an easier show where instead of all three of us taking turns, I'll take the turn and host both movies. And we're going to be doing some Hotel Inferno 1 and 2 from Necrostorm.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
I'm down with that.
Andy, you want to come back in 2 weeks?
I'd have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, you never know. It's like returning guests. But, you know, two movies, and these movies are very interesting for Nectico because they're first-person POV movies.
I wanted to see the second one. I own the first one and enjoy it, so.
Hopefully
they're shot better than Hardcore Henry. My head spins.
Yeah, they don't make you nauseous as bad.
Have you guys ever seen Hardcore Henry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, but we're going to be doing that for the next show. And after that, we're going to plan a show where we're going to, every movie that these motherfuckers haven't seen, we're going to plan in sporadic functions to make them watch.
Sounds good.
But we'll think of another list show, but that'll be it for now, and we're going to be back with another episode soon, guys, so check us out on Dark Discussions Network. Check it out. Awesome shit, and we're going to leave you off with some more music, so say bye.
Bye-bye.
A la vista, baby.